much about.
I'm sorry. Is there anything that I can do to make you feel better?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Ah! 106.7 K-Rock. K-R-O-Q. It's Rodney on the Rock. Just flew in from the Bay Area. My arms are really tired.
Absolute pure genius! Fabulous! Stand up and applaud! This one is top of the charts! Ah, that is exquisite! That is orgasmic, Mozart-like. It's just pure perfection. Beautiful! All the chemicals are bubbling, and all the equation comes out right in the end.
Seriously, I'm not Jesus.
And now...
I think you might have the autism.
Our feature presentation.
I love him so much.
He's got something. It may not really be the autism. He's got something.
Morning, everybody. It's brand new Kevin DeBean Show. It is Monday, the 28th of April.
He didn't have a head injury or something like that. We're not being mean to him, right?
I don't think so.
Okay. That's just how he is.
I think that's just who he is, yeah.
All right. How was your weekend?
Great. You?
Exhausting.
Why?
Well, you know.
Just too much on?
No, you know why, because... I was hosting.
Oh, right. The Dave the King of Mexico came to your house.
I had visitors this weekend, which was delightful. I love Dave and his girlfriend. They're wonderful people. I enjoyed having them. Happy to have them. But you know what it's like to be the tour guide. You know, you're up and at it every day, showing your town.
Yeah, it's usually pretty fun.
It was fun. I'm just saying, when you're done, you're like, okay, now the weekend begins.
Woo!
And instead, what begins is Monday.
Now I can have some time off.
Now Monday is what begins.
Yeah.
Hey, I guess we should, before we talk about today's excellent all-new Kevin DeBean Show, I guess we should talk about Donald Sterling.
Did something happen?
It is weird that this all broke on Friday afternoon because I feel like this is the national crisis that's been going on for like 6 months.
Right.
It already feels like it's been going on for 6 months. It just happened on Friday.
Yeah.
But he loves the blacks, first of all. What's going to happen, though? I know we're going to talk to Harvey Levin in less than an hour about the tapes. For folks who don't know about the tapes that came out that are purportedly Mr. Sterling. It sounds like he was... His people's statement made it sound to me like he was not denying it was his voice on the tape, but he was suggesting the tapes had been manipulated or his comments were taken out of context, but they do not reflect his views. That was their statement.
Yeah.
But if it turns out that the league does their due diligence, as they say they will, and it is Donald Sterling's voice on the tape, and he is saying, don't bring black people to the games, it sounds like they're going to have to deal with that and do what?
I don't know. I hope they can make him sell. That would be the best thing for the organization. It would be the best thing for the fans.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's what everybody except for Donald Sterling wants.
Right. I mean, this isn't a situation, though, where it's you or me and we just get fired. I mean, you can't fire Donald Sterling. I mean, I guess you can take the team away from him, but he is due compensation for that team. I mean, he owns it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know what the specifics are of how they do it. You know, Dave brought up an incident that I had forgotten from back in the 80s, I think, that when Marge Schott had similar problems as the owner of the Cincinnati Reds, baseball came in and basically took the team away from her and sold it to someone else and then gave her the money.
They could do that, but I think the language is really strict. Like,
yes.
Like, it may not fit perfectly. And
right.
So they may have trouble doing that.
Yeah, and Sterling is a guy who loves to fight. He loves to go to court.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He has had contract disputes with other players before that he has, you know, basically just refused to pay until he had to. You know what I mean? So it's a mess.
Remember when Baron Davis was the star and he was on the sideline going, fat, fat,
yeah,
fat.
Right.
Remember that?
Yes.
He's just a terrible person.
But let me ask you.
Slumlord and all that?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, he ran into all that trouble with who he wouldn't rent to in violation of the law. But let me ask you this, and I in no way support Donald Sterling at all, and I'm not trying to defend him at all. But could he make the argument, hey, I run an organization that has been good for African Americans. I pay a fair wage. I promote from within. I have African Americans in my management. I have a black head coach. I mean, could he argue that I personally don't want to hang out with black people, but I haven't been discriminatory toward them in my workplace. Therefore, it's unfair for me to suffer consequences from this.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many issues, and I have no idea how this is going to unfold. But I will tell you, if you watch the way the Clippers played yesterday, yeah, it didn't look like their heads were in the game.
No. I mean, look, they had their shirts on inside out just so that they wouldn't have the Clippers logo, for God's sakes.
Yeah, and every minute that they spend talking about this is a minute they're not spending talking about how we're going to beat Golden State. So yeah, there's no question it's a distraction for them and for the whole league. Well, I'm excited to talk to Harvey in about 45 minutes or so to find out where this tape came from. You know, her people, his girlfriend, is she really only 23, by the way?
Oh, I heard 30. But
oh, is she 30? Okay. No,
maybe I heard 30 years younger than him. I don't remember.
Her people are saying that she didn't record the conversation.
Right, I know. But who
so
would've?
Where did it come from?
I don't know. Who would have?
I mean, this whole thing is like, what up?
That's a good comment. I hope they run with that as the headline in the Times today.
This whole thing is like, what up?
Exactly.
All right, well, we'll see.
We will, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show now.
You bitch-ass, redneck, white bread, chicken motherfucker. You, your mama, and everything connected to you, you racist piece of you.
All right. James Vanderbeek will be on the program.
Yes!
How about that?
Love him.
Friends with Better Lives, the name of the show. We'll talk Donald Sterling, like we just mentioned. Dave, the King of Mexico, spent the weekend at Bean's house.
We boys.
Dying to find out exactly what went on this weekend. Because, man, when you guys get together, it's a party.
It is a party.
L.A. Beast will be here. Now, I don't know if you've seen this guy, but that's a rough way to make a living.
Except I will also point out that he's the successful version of what Beer Mug is already doing in his real life. Except L.A. Beast is making money off of it by doing it on YouTube. Muggs is just eating all that crap just for his own, you know, his own fatness.
But it seems like there's never, like, you go through all those videos and you go, which one of these is fun? None of them.
Right.
Zero.
Well, it's his job. I bet that's how he looks at it. I'm not going to like this, but 200,000 people are going to look at it on YouTube and I'm going to make money.
We have Kings of Leon tickets we're going to give you in about a half hour.
Sweet.
We are going to talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ, like Bean just mentioned, and we've got 911 as a joke today. So that's coming up as well. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Hey, Ralph Garman?
Yo!
Do you see Rodney? Did he just hang around after his show last night? Is he out in the hall ready to come in and help us give away some Kings of Leon tickets?
Oh, that's what he's here for. I was wondering what he was doing. Yeah, he's over by the water cooler talking about Brian Wilson. I don't know.
Rodney is a huge music fan, obviously.
Sure.
He hosts the late night Sunday night show here, and he's an expert. Well, he's more of an expert of 80s music than anything.
He loves the 80s. I know that much.
The 80s are his favorites.
You know what he doesn't love?
What's that?
The 90s.
He hates the 90s.
He
does hate the 90s.
I don't know how he feels about the new millennium at all.
But he claims that you cannot stump him when it comes to Kings of Leon trivia. He claims that he's as conversant in that band as he is in the Crystals and the Shangri-Las. Mm. So if you have a Kings of Leon trivia question and you can get it past Rodney, you will go into the drawing to win tickets to see Kings of Leon. Mm. We're giving those away all week here on K-Rock. And I think today's in the fifth row, if I recall correctly.
That's correct.
Mm. All right. So you can call right now 1-800-520-1067. You've got a Kings of Leon trivia question. You want to stump Rodney. We'll get to you first. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Speaking of KOL, how would you like to go see a special show by Kings of Leon and Bruno Mars?
Yes.
Then, how would you like to go see it with Brad Pitt? You want to hang out with Brad Pitt?
I mean, if I had to.
Were you afraid you'd show him up?
Well, you know.
I don't want girls to just
steal
be staring
the spotlight,
at you. And he'd
right.
be like, oh, why isn't anybody looking at me?
Right.
Yeah. Well, Brad is doing a special fundraiser for his Make It Right Foundation. And anybody who donates $10 or more to a Groupon grassroots campaign that he's got going will automatically be entered into a sweepstakes to win a trip for two to the concert in New Orleans, a two-night hotel stay, VIP tickets to the Gala after party, and you'll hang out with Brad Pitt.
Dude, that's pretty cool.
That's a pretty good gig right there. And the foundation is very cool. They build environmentally friendly homes for people in need. So it's low-income housing made right. And it's a cool thing. So go to Make It Right Foundation if you want to get more details. And then you can maybe hang out with Brad Pitt in Louisiana.
And Brad is one of those guys who actually goes out and builds the houses, too.
He sure do. I guarantee. Chemin de fer. Oh, chérie. Oh, gumbo. It's my Louisiana. Okay?
That's good.
Thanks. It was a pretty much an off week in the box office as we look every do as we do every Monday morning at the numbers for the movies over the weekend. The big summer movies begin coming out soon, so it looked like not a lot of money spent at the box office this weekend, but enough money was spent to make The Other Woman number one at the box office.
How is that?
Do you know why, Kevin?
Possible.
Because there are a lot of women.
Right.
They went to the movies.
But they buy the whole, hey, oh, the girlfriend sure. and the wife are going to team
yes.
up and be best friends.
It's a dream come true.
That's crazy.
$25.4 million made it number one. Captain America, The Winter Soldier, dropped to second this week, $15.9 million. Then Heaven is for Real, Rio 2, and Brick Mansions, Private Eye. Actually, no, Brick Mansions is just the name of a neighborhood. Transcendence was sixth, The Quiet Ones.
I watched the first half of that this weekend. I'm going to try and catch the second half of it next weekend.
Is it a long movie? Is that what you're suggesting?
Oh, my dear God, they could have edited that by about a third.
Well, if anyone knows editing, it's
That's
you.
Me.
You did get that Oscar that year,
Thank
remember?
You. Thank you. It's a long movie. That's what I'm saying.
$3.8 million made it number seven. Bears, Divergent, and A Haunted House 2 rounding at your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Gwyneth Paltrow. Well, you know, she's an expert on everything.
Sure.
And now that she's going through divorce, friends say she's planning on writing a book about how to divorce.
Well, she's going to divorce better than the rest of us,
too,
right?
Of course she will. She will teach you the right way to do it because she knows things. And according to this story, she has asked her estranged husband, Chris Martin, to write the foreword for the book.
Wow.
To which he'll say, if I do this, will I finally get rid of you? What will it take? Katy Perry's got a new boyfriend, DJ Diplo. Apparently she brought him to a party for The Amazing Spider-Man 2, and they two were just all over each other, just very touchy, touchy, feely, feely.
All right.
A lot of web spinning going on at that Spider-Man party.
And, I don't understand. I'm sorry.
And they're having a blast. You know who's not having a blast? Ashley Simpson. I don't know if you know this or not, but she is engaged to Evan Ross. Evan is the son of Diana Ross.
I did not know that.
It is true.
Okay.
Can you imagine what it would be like to have Diana Ross in your life and then trying to plan your wedding? She is known as one of the most legendary ball-busting divas of all time.
Yeah.
And this is no exception. Apparently she isn't playing nice at all when it comes to the upcoming wedding. She's taken over the entire affair. She nixed Ashley Simpson's idea of a vegan wedding cake. Well, good for her on that choice, by the way. She even chose the gown for her to wear.
What? Oh, hell.
And wait for it, has announced she's going to do a 30-minute set at the wedding.
This to her is just another gig, isn't it?
Pretty much. She also insists that Ashley Simpson referred to her as Miss Ross.
Wow.
Not Mom, not Diana, Miss Ross. Or Miss Jackson, if you're nasty. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Former Tonight Show host Jay Leno, 64 years old today. Singer-bassist Kim Gordon of Sonic Youth, 61 years old today. Too Short!
Yes?
No, I'm just talking about Chip.
Oh, okay.
No, rapper Too Short is 48 years old today. Bridget Moynihan is 43. Jorge Garcia from Lost is 41. You know, I'll never forget the time we had him in here at the show. Bean, I think you're on vacation.
I don't remember that.
Jorge Garcia from Lost was in here. And Kevin said, so, Jose, what's it like shooting in Hawaii? And Jorge Garcia said, it's Jorge. Penelope Cruz is 40 years old today. Jessica Alba turns 33. Harry Shum Jr. Oh, it's...
Who's that?
It's Dave's favorite. It's the Asian guy from Glee.
Oh, okay.
And Step Up 1 and 2.
Sure.
He's 32 years old. He's like Dave's personal hero. We should have Dave come in here and dance for us sometime.
That'd be awesome.
He does have mad skills.
He does.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We have
Rodney
many,
on
many...
the Rock Show. K-Rock 106.7.
Hey, buddy. How you
listening
doing?
Listening in the morning. To
right.
Rodney in the morning for a change. Usually I'm Sunday nights, but
okay.
now Monday.
Let me explain right. why you're here,
oh,
Rodney.
Right. I'm here... to play my music coming up.
No.
That's a rare Bangles coming up.
Just hang on one second, Ronnie.
first recording session.
Hang on, Roddy.
Susanna Hoffs.
Okay. K-Rock presents Kings of Leon, two big shows coming up in October, one at the Hollywood Bowl on the 3rd, and then the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater on the 5th. Tickets go on sale Saturday at 10, but we're giving away tickets right now. Now, Rodney, you know everything there is to know about Kings of Leon. Listeners are on the line continuing to call at 1-800-520-1067. They're going to try to stump you, but you feel like you've got this band, right?
Kings of who?
Leon.
Kings of Leon.
Oh, I thought you said Kenny Loggins.
And we know that you're an 80s specialist, but do you know Kings of Leon? I mean, is this...
Sure.
All right. Okay, good luck. Let's do this.
Can you stop Rodney? Can you stop Rodney? Let's all stop Rodney now.
Yeah, wig wham bam.
All right. That's Godhead.
It is. All right, Rodney. So again, this isn't about the 80s. This is about the band Kings of Leon.
All
Kevin,
right.
Who's our first contestant?
Dennis joins us. Hi there.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We are good. Stop
right, Rodney. Dennis.
I just wanted to know what city was the band formed in?
Berlin.
All right. He actually gave you the name of a city for once.
What did I win?
You don't win anything.
Is it Berlin, Dennis?
No, it's Nashville, Tennessee.
Nashville.
Do I get a T-shirt?
They're asking the question, Rodney, and then you're right. Answering it. They're going to win tickets, not you. You understand? I'll win something.
But you weren't right. You were wrong.
Dennis is in the drawing. Let's see who's next.
All right. We got Mike on the line.
Sex,
hi there.
Hi, good morning, guys. Rodney?
Good morning.
What was the name of the 2011 documentary about the band?
I Eat Cannibals.
That'd be weird if it was. Is that it?
Close. It's actually Tallahassee Sky.
Total Kiolo.
Okay, he's already given you the right answer, Rodney. It's none of the 80s stuff that you're
talking
about.
Total Kiolo.
Okay. All right, so Mike's in the drawing, too.
Yep.
All right, what'd I win?
You're 0 for 2. You win nothing. Selena.
Coming up next, the Go-Go's.
Selena, hi.
They're back together
again. Good morning. So the band is composed of mostly brothers. Which member is not a brother?
Member's not a brother.
Right.
I know it's the only one Donald Sterling likes.
Cindy Lauper.
Do you think she's a member of Kings of Leon?
Annie Lennox?
Is it either of those, Selena?
No. Wrong. It's Matthew Followhill. He's a cousin.
Terrence Trent D'Arby?
I don't know why you keep guessing after she gives you the answer.
All right, 0 for 3 so far. You know the band that we're talking about, Kings of Leon. They're
right.
The ones who do that Sex on Fire song, right, Rodney?
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Boy, are my arms tired.
Let's go to Avo. Hi.
Hey, good morning, guys.
And, Abba? Abba's on the line?
No, Avo.
Avo is his name.
I got excited. It was Abba.
So the question is, what's the lead singer's name?
Lead singer's name.
Okay, here's a pretty easy one for you, Rodney.
Lead singer's name. Morrissey.
Close.
Do you really think Morrissey is the lead singer of Kings of Leon?
Steve Morrissey.
Okay.
Caleb Followell, sir. Sorry.
Leon Morrissey.
All right.
I just gave you the answer.
0 for 4. Let's try line 5, please, and get Jose on. Playing for Kings of Leon tickets. They're coming to town on the Hollywood Bowl and Verizon Wireless Amphitheater in October. You're on, sir. Good luck.
Hey, good morning, Ronnie. What's the name of Kings of Leon's first album?
Walking on Sunshine. All right.
Does that sound right to you, Rodney?
I love that song.
Right, but I'm saying, does that sound like the name of the Kings of Leon's first album?
Walking on Sunshine.
Right, we know the song.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Jose, is that right?
It actually is.
Oh, who knew?
All right, what'd I win?
What are the chances?
No, Rennie. It's Young and Young Manhood. Sorry.
So close.
Did I win a snow globe?
You won nothing. I'm sorry.
Okay. I'd like a snow globe.
Been right yet.
I have a snow globe collection.
I think we have time for another contestant.
I'm the only owner of a Sonny and Cher snow globe.
Well, I'm not sure that's a big item that people are looking for. Braden, hi.
Hi.
All right.
Welcome to Stump Rodney. Go ahead.
Where did the band name come from?
99 Luftballons.
Now, does that make sense to you, Rodney, that
sure.
The band name Kings of Leon can come from 99 Luftballons?
It's in the lyrics.
What lyrics?
It's from 99 Luftballons.
Oh, I see. Braden, is that correct?
That is not. It comes from the grandfather, Leon.
Rodney, anything?
My story's more interesting.
Yeah.
All right. I think we're out of time, but I do think that Braden, I do think that Jose, Avo, Selena,
we know how
Mike,
that goes, yeah.
Dennis,
the Kings of Leon.
They've all stumped Rodney. Only one can win tickets, though. Who's it going to be? Is Beer Mug keeping track yet?
He is.
Line 2 Mike.
Line 2 Mike.
Spandau Ballet.
We're not even doing the contest anymore.
All right.
Congratulations, Mike.
Oh, great. Thanks, guys.
Enjoy
Little
the Kings
Stevie
of Leon.
Forbert.
And thank you for playing the game.
Let's all stop Rodney now.
Yeah, wigwam bam.
James Vanderbeek in studio with us later on this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, the L.A. Beast himself. This guy will eat anything. Ahead of going to Harvey Levin on the phone on TMZ.com, let's play a little bit of the tape that the world is talking about. Clipper owner Donald Sterling taped saying these remarks in specifically this part of the conversation. He's talking to his now ex-girlfriend about a photo that she posted on her Instagram, picture she had taken with Magic Johnson.
I saw someone I admire Magic Johnson.
Okay, good.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
He's made a lot of changes for his community, for the world, for the people, for the minorities. He's helped a lot of people.
Why are you forcing this down my throat? I'm finished talking to you. I have nothing more to say.
And I took a picture with someone I admire.
Good.
And he happens to be black, and I'm sorry.
I think it's nice that you admire him. I know him well, and he should be admired. And I'm just saying that it's too bad you can't admire him privately and during your entire life, your whole life, admire him. Bring him here. Feed him. F*** him. I don't care. You can do anything. But don't put him on an Instagram so the world has to see, so they have to call me. And don't bring him into my games, okay?
Harvey, seriously, dude.
Hey, guys. I'm sorry. I was... There's a lot going on.
I know there is, and we appreciate you squeezing us in. Look, in the short history of TMZ Sports, this is the biggest thing you guys have ever broken. This is insane.
Yeah, I'll tell you a little. We were working on this 8 days before we posted it on the website. So we did a lot of legwork before we actually put this up. We've known about it. And
now the word coming out that we hear is that you didn't get this tape from her.
Well, I'm not going to
say. You're not going to say.
You know me better than that.
I do.
I'm not going to tell you but where you got it from.
Her people are also saying she didn't tape it, though, right?
She taped it.
She taped it. Okay. All right.
I can tell you she taped it.
Okay.
I can also tell you that she taped more than 100 hours of conversations between her and Donald Sterling.
Oh, my
100
God.
Hours.
What's her motive? Why was she taping him?
Well, okay. Can I say, you know what, I don't even know why I'm saying this. You guys ask the best questions. I do a lot of these interviews, and I get these peripheral questions. You guys get, that's why I like doing your show. You get to the heart of things. That's the point.
Thank you, Harvey. Yeah,
that is the question. The question is why. That's the question. Her position, we are told, is that she considers herself an archivist on the one hand. Now, what does that mean? I can't really explain it to you. I know that she's writing a book. She's writing a book, and this is a quote, about life. But I'm also told that she says it's not about Donald Sterling, although how can it not be about
Donald
Sterling?
How can it not be? That's the only interesting part of her life, I'm sure.
Right. So that's number one. Number two, she has said, we know, that he is a forgetful guy, and that she often plays tapes back for him so he remembers what he said and sometimes confronts him with that. And I can tell you that before we posted this story late on Friday night, she had played this back for him because he denied saying it to her.
Wow.
And she played it back.
So Harvey,
why she did it is, to me, a central question.
The other shock.
I want to say one other thing.
Yes.
And he knew she was recording many of these conversations.
He did?
Which is the remarkable. Yes. Which is the remarkable thing.
Wow. Yet he would still say something like that he knew was being recorded. I was stunned to see this morning on TMZ that she says they were never boyfriend and girlfriend.
She's saying that it is a business relationship. That
right.
they have been working together for 4 years, and she is working as his archivist. She works on one of the Clippers charities. That would be news to Shelley Sterling, Donald Sterling's estranged wife, because Donald Sterling's estranged wife absolutely believes that not only is she the girlfriend, but he's been living with her. He's given her 4 very expensive cars. So how you define, you know, it's kind of like, you know, President Clinton saying it depends on what
right,
the word
right,
is.
Right, right, right. Well, I was wondering
that would be news.
I was wondering if maybe this professional relationship, and I'm just guessing here, is we weren't boyfriend and girlfriend because there wasn't love involved, but he was paying me to have sex. He was paying me to be, you know, his lady kind of thing. Yeah. I wonder if that's the professional relationship.
Well, look, I mean, there are a million ways of looking at it. Maybe they weren't having sex, but it was still considered, you know, an intimate relation. It could be a million things. And obviously, there are two people who really know. And I'm not sure I believe anybody.
It certainly sounds intimate on the tape. There's a lot of baby and honey and what can I do and let me get you some juice. I mean, it definitely seems that way. All right.
The interesting thing here is, you know, what is going to happen? I mean, as we talked to the Clippers organization 2 days before we broke the story.
Right.
And we got radio silence. But I found out that behind, you know, and it looked at initially like they were kind of acting like, oh, it's, you know, big deal. Well, what I found out was it was anything but, you know, ho-hum. They were frantically working behind the scenes to get to the bottom of the tape, to figure out what to do. This was, you know, this is a big deal because you've got players who, you know, on the one hand, you know, have been working so hard and are so loyal to the team, but then what do they do with this guy? And there's been a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. People are saying that Donald Sterling really doesn't run the Clippers now, even though he's an owner, that, you know, his son-in-law runs it. So everybody's kind of scrambling and trying to distance themselves. I think the real issue is, what's Adam Silver going to do? I mean, I don't know that Adam Silver has the power to say you have to sell the team. And it's more complicated because this is a family business. Shelley has an equal stake in this thing, and can he do that?
Can the owners meet and make him do that?
It's just unclear to me. There is, you know, everybody points to Marge Schatz in the only semi-related situation, but I just don't know, and I don't think anybody knows. I'm going to make a guess, and my guess is you're going to see a long suspension. I don't know that you're going to see him being stripped of the team unless things really radically change.
Well, as Magic said over the weekend, though, there's no player in the NBA that's going to want to come to the Clippers and play for this man now.
Well, Magic, you know, it's funny because we gave Magic a heads up before we broke the story,
right?
And told him, and I don't think initially it had the impact. He didn't hear it before we gave him the heads up. We told him essentially what was on it. And what I noticed with Magic was, as the day went on Saturday, he got more and more indignant.
Yeah.
Appropriately, the more it kind of sunk in and he actually heard the words. So, you know, Magic kind of started out, you know, measured, and by the end, you know, by the end of Saturday, it was just like, are you kidding me?
Harvey, tell people who don't follow this very closely why this is not at all a surprise.
Donald Sterling, you know, everybody who's been in his world has known about, you know, his views on race. There have been lots of people talking about this for many, many years. In fact, it was funny because one person I talked to, as we were kind of vetting all of this before we posted it, said to me, "Why is this news?" And, you know, I said, "Well, you haven't heard what we've heard, but they actually said that." And, you know, Elgin Baylor sued him unsuccessfully, but sued him. You know, and this has been
racial discrimination, right?
Yeah, yeah. And this has been talked about for many years. It's just nobody's really heard it.
Let me ask you one more thing, Harvey, because we know you're very busy and you got to get to a meeting. The number one question that I had from Kevin and Bean listeners over the weekend, specifically wanting me to ask you, is it's illegal to make this tape in California, to tape somebody without their permission. It sounds like you're saying that's not even a factor here because Donald Sterling knew he was being recorded, right?
Well, I am telling you, Donald Sterling knew about many of the recordings. I am told, I haven't heard it yet, but I'm told that he knew about this one. I don't know that to be a fact. That's just what I was told by somebody kind of involved in all of this. But, you know, she definitely had a habit of recording him, and he knew not only knew it, but she played back a number of these tapes to him whenever they got in an argument or whatever.
And part of the reason people talk about the legality of tape recordings is because that means they usually are not admissible in court, but no one's talking about this going to court at this point.
Yeah, it's a PR nightmare. I mean, that could destroy him anyway.
But this may not be a legal issue, though, I think is what I'm saying.
I don't know if you guys saw what we posted at the top of the website, but, you know, Donald Sterling called this woman yesterday, Vista Viano, and said, how do we make this go away? He does not want the rest of these tapes out. So I think, well, I don't think. I mean, he's opened the door to a settlement negotiation. She referred him to her lawyer, and I don't know where it stands beyond that, but clearly they have an interest in not having these tapes released.
Absolutely.
I'll say this as a longtime Laker fan. I know you got to go. As a longtime Laker fan, I've always said that the Clipper fans deserve a better owner. The Clipper team deserves a better owner. He is what's wrong with that organization. And if he's forced to sell it, that's the best news for Clipper fans.
Yeah, I mean, look, you can tell. I mean, guys, you can just tell how conflicted these players are.
Of course.
I mean, you feel it as you look at their faces. You can just feel it because it's really, you know, it's so difficult. I believe 10 out of the 12 main players are African-American.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And the just... It must be really, really difficult for them.
Yeah, it's not the distraction you want when you're in the playoffs and you're tied up. Absolutely.
Yeah, and obviously we didn't time it that way. We got it when we got it, and we spent a lot of time on this story. This was, again, it was 8 days.
Well, congratulations. I mean, it's a great, great story, and I hope that it, like Kevin says, I hope that this is the one that topples the domino and we get rid of Sterling for good in professional sports. Thanks so much for the time, Harvey. Have a great week, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
You too, guys.
You know, we saw Magic Johnson talking a lot about this Donald Sterling thing over the weekend, but I did not hear from you, Magic, what you think about Beer Mug working on the Kevin and Bean Show.
This is not good. This is not good. And it's not good for America. You know, this is not good.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Once again. Hey, welcome to Kevin and Bean here on a Monday morning. Time for a feature we like to call 911 is a joke.
To get up, get down. 911 is joking, yo, down.
I love this feature, and I have mixed feelings about 911 tapes ever being released, but when they're funny, I'm glad they are. One story that they haven't released the tape from yet that I love is a 28-year-old woman who was arrested after dispatchers got a frantic 911 call from a man who was driving in a car with her and a number of children, by the way. He called 911 to say that his girlfriend was attacking his genitalia, and not in a good way, by the way.
Oh, my God.
She was beating him and pulling on his genitalia while they were driving. They were in some sort of an argument. I think the saddest part about this story, it doesn't say how old the kids were that were in the car. He's 28, though, or she's 28. He's about the same age, it looks like, in the photo. He had his son videotaping the girlfriend beating him in the genitals while they were driving so that he would have evidence to show the police when
son,
they met
tape
them.
Son, tape this.
Can you, what's going on in that family? Yeah. Can you imagine what that's like? That a little kid being asked to tape his dad getting punched in the balls while they're driving down the street.
That is not ideal.
That is not, that's not the greatest environment ever. But she has been arrested. But I'll get back to you when that 911 tape is being released because nothing could be funnier than listening to a guy while he's getting punched in the testes try to give a statement to the police. All right, now we move into the taped calls that we have. This is a crazy story from Squim, Washington. Here's a woman at a park who saw two masked men in a minivan pull up. One guy jumps out, grabs a kid off the playground, and takes off. What she didn't know is this was being staged and filmed. Listen to her on the phone with the 911 operator as she finds out what's going on.
911, where is your emergency?
Somebody just came out on Cary Blake Park. And somebody just pulled up in a van and stole a kid off a bench and drove off.
Cary Blake Park? Okay.
Yes.
And what type of vehicle was he in?
It was a Dodge Caravan. It was silver. God, I'm like shaking right now.
Do you have a license plate for the car?
No, I didn't. It just happened really fast.
Okay. And they were wearing a mask?
Yeah, he was wearing a mask. Oh, my God.
He was wearing a
fuzzy mask. It was a white, hairy, fuzzy mask with it looked like a gorilla mask, but the eyes were painted blue and the mouth was red.
All right, so this is where somebody comes up, and the mom is there telling people, no, no, it wasn't a real kidnapping. It was being staged. Now, you could hear, I wanted to let some of that play, because you could hear how upset this other mother at the park was, right?
Yeah, of course.
She is shaking to see something like this happen with a guy jumping out of a van and grabbing a kid. Now the mom herself walks up and starts telling people that the thing is fake. No longer is this woman interested in talking to the 911 operator. Now she just wants to yell at the mom who staged this thing, because it's super uncool.
They staged it?
I don't know for sure. Because I'm the mother, and we staged it to see if people, how people would react. And that we'd already called the police.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you.
Are you kidding me? That's not.
not funny. Not funny. That just scared the shit out of us. Yeah, everything's fine.
Okay, thank you for calling, Cassie. I have the information. Okay, will you, if we need to get a hold of you, we will.
Not funny. Not funny. Especially with my kids. That's just no way.
Ma'am?
If your kid was sitting right here and you just, I have to watch my, no. I don't care. I don't. This is wrong.
They claimed that they were shooting a video to see what people's reactions would be to a kid being taken off of a playground.
That's absurd.
Right? Like, what do you think people's reaction is going to be? It's going to be to call 911 in a panic because you think you're witnessing a kidnapping. I just wish that the woman, the woman who staged the thing, by the way, with her own kid as the bait, I just wish that she had been beaten down and would have to call 911 to get the people off of her.
That's crazy.
What a bizarre story. I mean, you can just imagine how freaked out everybody was. And for our final call on 911 as a joke, what state do you think we go to for the craziest call? Yes, it is in fact Florida. Look, everyone has seen this where you walk outside, and it has something to do with the way light is refracted. But everybody has seen this where you look up in the sky, and the sun is kind of blobby, and around it is kind of like a halo, right?
Right, right.
We've all seen a halo in the sky. There's no one on Earth who hasn't seen a halo in the sky, except for maybe this lady who called 911 over it.
911, what's your emergency?
Yes, it's a weird circle up in the sky, it's a round, full circle, and it's dark in the middle. This has never happened in Tampa, Florida. Please go outside, look up in the sky, and look at this weird object, and I need to get the news people on it.
I love that she says it's never happened in Tampa, Florida before. And not only does she want the 911 operator to go outside and look at it, we got to get the news people on this. Does she think it's a UFO?
How does she know it's never been seen before in Tampa?
Great question, Kevin.
Cloud, or is it a
cloud? It's a big black circle in the middle, and it's all the way around. And it's never been in the United States of America.
Oh, now it's never even been in the United States of America.
She's an expert.
That's how rare this is. She must be a meteorologist.
Never, ever.
It's not a tornado, is it?
No, ma'am.
So the
light is getting a little bigger and bigger. You go outside and look up in the sky.
What's your address, ma'am?
I love, by the way, she sounds panicked. Like, she really does think this is an alien invasion. She's looking at the sun.
I'm at that park here. What is that? It's in the whole world. I mean, anybody can walk outside and look at it. It's there.
Heart Transfer Center, Net Park. Is it a bus station?
Yes.
And it's just a big old black circle?
It's a big circle, and around it is like a little light yellow-looking color around it, but it's centered right over in that
part. So it's a black circle with a yellow circle around it.
Right. You just walk outside of your office right now and look in the sky, and you can see that from anywhere. And I want to get Time 8 News out here, too.
Yeah, get the news out there for sure.
That's right.
All right, ma'am. I'll tell the deputies, okay, in that area.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
I love that she's going to send police officers out there to the park.
Don't you guess she was just playing along? Yeah, we'll get someone right out.
I don't know. I mean, these 911 operators, they always have to, you know, they can't just blow off a call in case it ends up being a thing, you know?
Right.
But you call 911 because of the sun in the sky. That's why I love Florida, and that's why 911 is a joke.
To get up or get down, 911 is joking, yo.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
Monday morning, James Vanderbeek joins us in studio next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Rob's got the show busy. What's going on, Rob?
I love me some Beak.
He's a good dude. Good dude.
He's the real deal right there, Neil.
Yep. He's always better than, and I'm not trying to cast aspersions on his new series,
because
a big hit on CBS, but he's almost always better than the shows he's in, too. That's the thing about James Vanderbeek I found. Like that apartment B thing, for instance?
I think
he's the best part of it.
His shows are just as good as he is, and it's all wonderful. He's wonderful. The shows are wonderful. Everything.
What have you done with Ralph?
Good. It's all wonderful.
Well, we're very excited to catch up.
I don't want your
lives! First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday. What's happening?
It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Other Woman, in its debut, number one this weekend, $25.4 million. Well, people just can't get enough of the comedy stylings of Kate Upton.
Sure.
She's a gifted comedian. She's like the Lucille Ball of our generation.
I'm not sure that's what they're going to her for.
That's what many are saying.
I see.
I am very surprised, and I'm not joking, that Kevin did not go see that movie this weekend.
I'm not.
He loves Kate Upton.
Unless it was wife time. Unless it was wife pick.
I do love Kate Upton, but what a dumb movie idea.
Oh, it looks terrible. But yeah. Kate Upton running around in a bikini for some of it might almost make it worth it in some people's eyes.
How do you find Kate Upton running around in a bikini? Where can you see her doing that? You'd have to go to that movie, I think, if you wanted to see that. Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, wait. There's not a website in existence that doesn't have her in a bikini on it.
I forget. My computer's literally bulging with images of her in bikinis. Literally. The screen is now bowed out because there's so much Kate Upton packed into the internet.
And still not enough.
Captain America the Winter Soldier, number 2 at the box office. Heaven is for Real. Third, Rio 2 was fourth. Brick Mansions in its debut made $9.6 million, made it number 5. Transcendence, sixth. The Quiet Ones. Seven, Bears, Divergent, A Haunted House 2. Those are your top 10 movies at the box office. I'm just happy that we finally live in an age where there's a movie called Bears. They're just running out of stuff. Water, sky. They're just naming, just pointing and naming movies
what's,
now.
What's it about?
Bears.
It's one of those Disney nature movies, Kevin, where you track a family of bears.
I'm saying that
must
have been how the conversation went.
Yeah. What should we call this? I don't know. What it's about?
Bears.
All right. Come on. I got things to do. Move on. Next.
Let's go with that.
I don't have time for these shenanigans.
It's IHOP Thursday.
That's right.
Is what was followed right after that.
Bears. Yeah, it's a nature film. It's exactly as they are in the wild. It's a family of bears all named, Sky and Steve and Bill. Just like they are in nature.
Sure.
They all have names.
Yeah.
Ah, sad news. Sad news. One of the great R&B rap songs of all time. One of my personal favorites. It Takes Two with Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock.
Right.
Well, DJ Easy Rock passed away on Sunday. Passed away at just the age of 46 years old.
Wow. Dude.
No word on why as of yet, but it was confirmed by Rob Bass. He wrote on Instagram over the weekend, R.I.P. Skip. That's DJ Easy Rock's real name, my friend, my brother. They had been friends since fourth grade, according to Spin Magazine. They grew up together in Harlem.
His name was Skip?
Maybe that was another nickname.
Okay. But,
they collaborated on many, many projects, but most famously, their 1988 smash hit single, It Takes Two!
I have a piece of that if you want it, Ralph.
Yes, please.
Please. Rolling down the street, smoking and dope, sipping on gin and juice. Laid back with my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
See, Bean set me up because he said, when you do the easy story about his death, I have It Takes Two ready to go.
Oh, all right.
I'll have a clip for you.
Sweet.
And so I came in expecting him to play that.
I like
and
it.
And so he set me up.
Well, you're an idiot.
Saying, I've got that clip. And then, of course, he has to play something.
But as it turns out, I do also have
something marginally funny. Because
I do also
those
have
are the new rules, apparently.
The real It Takes Two. That was a monster. It seems like that's one of those songs that has been used in a million commercials and movies since then.
And play it at a party, any party.
Yeah.
I defy you to not get your ass out there on the dance floor when that thing happens.
Yeah, you can't go wrong. Can't go wrong with it.
Can't help it. And then, woo! Woo! Everybody does that part. Woo!
Sure.
Oh, that's the best. Rest in peace, Easy Rock. And speaking of music, little did we know, over the weekend, he slipped it in on us. He just snuck it in on us. We got a brand new Biebs song.
Justin Bieber?
The new Biebs jam was released on Saturday night. It's called Hard to Face Reality, the number 2. See what he did there?
See?
Very clever. Prince is like, hey.
What about me?
Hey, that's my thing. It is a 2-minute song that he does with his buddy Pooh Bear.
Pooh Bear?
Pooh Bear. Here's Justin and Pooh. Singing Hard to Face Reality.
Relationships over the phone, talking to your significant other all night long. Sometimes it's hard to face reality. Even though you might get mad at me.
The nice thing about Justin Bieber is he has just taken anything that is original or was unique to him. He's just wrung that out of his career. Now he is just simply replicating and trying to sound like every other rapper.
But at least you can't understand any of the lyrics, so that's good.
No. Yeah.
Boy, I agree, man. It's just all these new songs that he keeps releasing are just so boring.
It's
you
just auto-tuned
can't make them through.
Crap. It really is. Any minor charm he may have had as a pop singer when he first started, now it's just completely, that's just all been removed. And now he's just...
You can go to the first 100 people just singing on their laptops on YouTube, and they're better than whatever that song was you just played.
I hear you. Today's celebrity birthdays, Harry Shum Jr. from Glee. He is 32 years old today. Jenna Ushkowitz, also from Glee, is 28. How come all these high school students of Glee are all like 40? How did that happen? Jessica Alba.
There you go.
She's 33. Penelope Cruz is 44. Good day for babes to be born. Bridget Moynihan's 43.
Wow.
Jorge Garcia, you know him from Lost, 41 years old today. Rapper Too Short is 48. Kim Gordon of Sonic Youth, 61. And Jay Leno, former host of The Tonight Show. I hope he doesn't run out of money now that he doesn't have a job. I'm worried about him. Wait a minute. Yeah. He saved every paycheck he ever made from The Tonight Show and put it in the bank.
Never spent a penny of it.
That is for reals, people. Never spent a dime that he made doing The Tonight Show.
Lived on a stand-up money, which is, that's crazy.
How rich must he be?
Yeah, all.
He's 64. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We have already given out a pair of Kings of Leon tickets this morning here on the show. We got more to come before we're done today. October 3rd and 5th, Kings of Leon coming to Southern California on the 3rd at the Hollywood Bowl and on the 5th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Tickets go on sale Saturday at 10. Got tickets for you all week long today in the 5th row. And by the way, everyone who wins tickets today on K-Rock, eligible for the grand prize drawing that we do next Monday to be king for a day, fly to London, England to see the band. Get your details at K-Rock.com.
So there's a national park in South Africa, and somebody noticed some elephants stumbling around there. It turns out they were drunk. They were drunk elephants.
All right.
What the hell? Here's the news.
Field guide at a national park in South Africa noticed a herd of elephants moving along a little strangely and realized they were drunk. A few of the youngsters, being the crazy kids that they are, overindulged in some marula fruit, which has an intoxicating effect on large mammals.
These photos, by the way, are alternately sad and hilarious.
Oh, they're awesome.
These elephants look like they just fell asleep just walking, like right where they were, just sprawled out on the path on top of each other. It's like, like the morning after at a huge party.
They face planted, no question.
Yeah, I've never heard of this marula fruit, but it has to be pretty potent stuff, or they have to have eaten a tremendous amount of it to be able to have that effect on an animal that big. So we wanted to find out more about this. We asked producer Dave, who can we talk to? And I believe we have somebody on the line from the Kruger National Park in South Africa right now. Hello there.
How are you doing?
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
We're good.
Are you one of the elephants?
I am one of the elephants, yes.
I see.
Thank you so much for asking.
Okay, you sound a little drunk even right now.
I am not drunk. I had a granola bar.
Kevin, does this sound like anyone you know?
No.
I'm a little thirsty in a granola bar.
Right.
Tell us.
I like marula fruit.
Tell us about the marula fruit. Does that only have an effect on large mammals, or can humans devour that?
Anybody can eat it.
Right.
It's a fruit. You could go on a party bus.
Elephants have party buses?
Yeah, wow. A party bus. And when you get on a party bus,
right,
make sure to put some marula fruit in the trunk.
See, a little elephant comedy
the
there.
Trunk.
Hey, what is your name, by the way? I'm sorry, we didn't catch what your name was.
My name is Kevin.
Oh, your name is Kevin. Okay.
Come on now.
I see. So,
what happened?
Oh, I fall down.
You fell over?
So, are you guys just, are you avoiding the marula fruit now, or are you just eating as much of it as you could possibly find because you love the high?
We took a lot of marula fruit to Coachella 3 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And it was so good. It was good to eat.
I didn't...
It was fresh.
I didn't see any elephants at Coachella.
Well, I didn't see you at Coachella. Everybody's okay. Even.
I guess that is even. Now, do you, Kevin the Elephant, do you stop drinking when it's time to work so that you can show up and be sharp every morning when you appear at your job?
I'm sharp every morning. I get right to work every 30 seconds before I am supposed to be there. Uh-huh. And I am very sharp.
Very sharp, okay.
Yes. Just let it go. Not about work. That goal.
So you find the marula keeps you on your toes and keeps you facts and figures at your fingertips and you're okay, good.
And I am okay.
What?
Well, I forget what I was going to say.
Oh no, Kevin! What happened?
I guess we should have seen this coming.
It was fine. I never see it coming, by the way. Poor guy.
Too much marula fruit.
People who grew up in the Midwest or in parts of the eastern United States know about a thing called the cicada. It's an insect that comes out once every 17 years and just wreaks havoc on the world. It just comes out and just obliterates the sky. There are so many of them. Then it goes underground. You don't see it again for 17 years. That's what James Vanderbeek is to the Kevin DeBeach Show. He returns for his first appearance in 17 years, ladies and gentlemen. He is back, and he is here, and he is with us in studio. Hi, James. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How you doing?
So, you've been up to anything since the last time we talked to you?
Not much.
All right, thanks for coming.
All right, I'll see you guys later. See you in 17 years.
Again. How many kids you got, James?
Last I counted, 3.
And what age? They're all pretty young, right?
Yeah, I got the one. Olivia's 3.5. Joshua is 2. And Annabelle is 3 months.
No wonder you wanted a TV show. Get me out of this house.
You crazy.
That's a lot of little kids running around.
That's a lot of little kids. Yeah, man.
How do you like it? Is it the best?
Oh, it's the best. Absolutely. I mean, I can't remember the last time I wasn't tired, but I also can't remember the last time I wasn't genuinely happy.
Right. Is that part of the draw as an actor? Getting a sitcom is like the best gig in the world because you don't have to fly to, you know, Indonesia for 4 months to do a movie and be away from your family?
Well, yeah. I mean, first of all, it's a lot more fun to laugh on TV than cry.
Well, there's that.
but yeah, I mean, it's the hours on this thing are the best, man. It's the set hours. I could put my kids to bed 4 to 5 nights a week on this gig.
And that's pretty nice.
Yeah. You shoot in front of a live audience.
Right.
I started out doing theater, so that was a big draw for me.
James's new show, by the way, is called Friends with Better Lives. We had Brooklyn Decker in here last Monday, by the way.
Got to be honest, I sort of wish we had her tonight as well.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. She's not a bad deal. It's Monday nights at 8:30 on CBS. So tonight is the second or third episode that's aired?
Tonight is the third episode.
Okay. And
it's the fourth. It's the fourth episode.
Fourth already. Okay.
It sucks because we were on, then we were preempted, then we were on again. So now episode number 4.
That's how you want to launch a show, by the way. That's
exactly.
When they're doing you yep. a favor with the schedule. So how does it work in TV these days? We always hear about how difficult it is to get a new show to stick. Now, CBS, of course, has a great primetime lineup on Monday night. So that's, you know, obviously they have confidence in you to put you on there. But I mean, how quickly after the thing's on do they start making decisions about what they want to do next?
Well, they announce upfronts in the second week of May. So they wanted to wait to launch us behind the How I Met Your Mother finale, which is a big launching spot. And then they had Final Four the following week.
Oh, man.
And then,
so you got one episode.
We got one episode in to hook everybody in.
All right.
And now – and then – yeah. So we have 7 slots before they get into their summer programming to try and hook everybody in, get them addicted, and then really make them fight to find us.
Did you think – I don't know what kind of acting you
That's
wanted
what you
to
want.
No, they got to earn us.
We
don't want to make it too easy. There's no appreciation.
Give them a little taste and then make them find you.
Exactly.
Like dude, have them move you around on the schedule. Have them put you on Thursday this week and then Tuesday next week.
There's been some talk of that. I don't know. We'll see.
What kind of acting did you think you wanted to do when you got into the business? Now you ended up now doing 2 comedy series in a row. Was comedy something that you ever expected?
You know, when I got into the business, I was 15 years old. I told my mom, I think I can do this for real in New York. I thought I'd be a theater actor.
That was your dream? That was like the ultimate?
The ultimate fame that I conceived of at 15, 16 years old was to be in a play in New York. And have my picture outside the theater, like maybe life size.
That's a
That's a pretty big dream
it's
for
a pretty big dream for a kid from Connecticut. I mean, it was, you know, and you like you're like and have my name, my actual name underneath the picture so people would walk through and they'd
you just see. Wanted to be at a playbill. That was the goal.
I mean, that was like the ultimate. And then I was a sophomore in college, I was studying English and sociology. I was auditioning. I'd done like off-Broadway plays, I'd done some movies. And I just stepped in it, man. I got this audition for this this tiny little show and this network we didn't even get in my closed circuit cable television in college in my dorm room. That shot in this tiny little town in North Carolina, and people were like, "Oh my God, this is going to change your life." I'm like, "Yeah,
yeah, right.
I've heard that before."
Sure.
And then next thing I know, I was on billboards with my head, you know, 800 times the size of my, and I have a big head anyway.
Yeah.
but you know, I mean, with my name over the top, and it was crazy.
James's head might be as big as yours, Kevin.
I don't know.
You guys are both kind of famous for it.
Can you find sunglasses?
Because Kevin can't.
I'm not kidding. Probably 90% of the sunglasses that I try on, I go, "Oh, a little too tight. A little too tight." Because I have a giant head.
Well, you know, big head.
Right. I know. You're telling me.
Yeah. Kevin's been trying to get that spread around. So I've heard you say that you were prepared to be an actor. You weren't prepared to be famous. It really does. I mean, look, for all the benefits of a successful show and you know, a lot of people are in the business because they want to have success and make a living. Yeah. There are some downsides, too. And there were some things that were not cool about it. Right.
Oh, well, there's nothing worse than a famous person complaining about how hard it is to be famous.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like I always say, like coal mining is hard. Being a soldier, a firefighter is hard. Being famous, especially instantly at age 20, is just a little bit...
It can be annoying.
Tricky.
Yeah.
It's just tricky. Like I remember my first thought being, okay, now I know why there are so many E! True Hollywood stories.
And I don't want to be one of them.
And I don't want to end up, you know, so like as soon as you get famous at 20, like the goal becomes just keep yourself out of jail, bankruptcy court. And Jake.
Paternity test.
And the morgue.
Right.
You know? And
like, the Maury Povich show. Stay off that.
You are not
the father.
Did you go through any kind of a bad boy phase where you behaved badly, James?
You know, I mean, if I did have any kind of – it was just boring. It was just boring and lame. I mean, I think – I don't know, if you get that lucky to, you know, to have people all of a sudden like what it is you're doing, I think there's a definite temptation to get a little precious about it.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. At times. And so, I mean, there was a moment in my career when I was just really burnt out after 6 years of, you know, on the show. And when I got a little precious about things and I finished, you know, playing this, the most sensitive teenager on earth for 6 years and then came out and I was like, all right, I'm ready to play the FBI agent. Everybody was like, yeah, right.
Yeah, no.
No, not yet. you still look like a college kid. And so, yeah, I passed on all the things. And I realized that when you pass on stuff, if you pass enough, people eventually stop offering.
How quickly does that happen? Do you pass like a couple of times or do you really?
Like for a year, yeah. Do you not want to work because everybody's offering you stuff that's too much like Dawson?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was over the course of like a year or two. I think also I just really didn't want to work. I needed to figure out who I was outside of this gig. And I mean, we're 20 years old and you're trying to – that's when you figure out like who you are
as a
man. And then everybody's coming up to you and with this full set of expectations about who you are, how you're supposed to react. It's all based on something completely fake.
Right.
And so you feel like anything outside of that, you're just disappointing people and you get into this whole head spin.
But you know, props to you. A lot of actors and actresses at that age go south because of that. They can't figure out how to make their way and find who they are without falling apart.
Yeah, it's just a little tricky.
Yeah,
it's just a little tricky.
Did you have? I mean, it seems like you. There were some years you didn't work much, but it doesn't seem like you ever didn't work or couldn't work, right, James? You always were able to find a living.
I did a bunch of crap movies here and there to pay the mortgage. Sure.
Worst?
Yeah, man. Worst?
Yep.
This is a good one. Let's see. I did a Western with Ashton Kutcher and Usher.
That is not a thing. What was the name of that?
I forget.
No, you don't.
I forget the
no,
name
No, you
of that
don't.
Movie.
Texas Rangers?
I forget.
Texas Rangers. How about that?
I did a TV movie for Sci-Fi about a giant squid who lived in a lake.
What? That had to be the low point.
That was not the high point. I'll tell you that. I actually wore glasses and a beard because I was like hoping that nobody would recognize me in the actual thing.
Oh, no. Yeah. You leave some of that stuff off your IMDb? You try to get that?
You can't leave anything off IMDb,
I know, but
my friend.
There's nothing you can do to get it?
it's not at the top of my resume.
Yeah, well, all right.
Yeah.
I have heard, I read, we had Judy Greer in here a couple of weeks ago, and they have her middle name wrong on IMDb. And she has unsuccessfully, for years, tried to get them to change it, and they won't. She said, here's my birth certificate. And for whatever reason, they are just, they're tough at IMDb, man. When they put it up on the page, they do not want to take it down. So
they have my wrong middle name on IMDb, too.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That that's hilarious.
Yes. Yeah, they have my. I don't know if I have. I just gave up on them after a while. But
that's hilarious.
That's bizarre.
And they have all these like fun facts about you that are completely that I have no idea where they got them
made
from.
Made up.
And it hasn't there that my favorite ice cream is vanilla. Which I'm like, it's kind of genius, number one. Like, I almost don't want to take it down.
Right.
But I showed up at a children's hospital once, and there's this kid, and they're like, so, you know, what's your favorite ice cream, James? I was like, mint chocolate chip. Why? And this kid just starts, like, crying.
Oh, no.
Because they had given him some vanilla ice cream to give to me. And I'm like, oh, my God. Thank you, IMDb. You made a sick kid cry.
Oh, that's awesome. Hey, we got to take a break. The show is called Friends with Better Lives. It airs Monday nights at 8:30 on CBS. We'll talk more about that and catch up with James Vanderbeek. Look, we got a lot of ground we got to cover, because if you only come in every 17 years, you know, really got to get current here.
We got to play some catch up.
Yep. Take a break. We'll return in a moment here on K-Rock. Last Call's Fwibble. Fwibble is the shorthand for Friends with Better Lives. It airs Monday nights. Hey, that's tonight at 8:30 on CBS. I think we've got a clip. James, your character is a newly single guy who is shocked to not be married anymore, right?
Yeah, he thought he was going to be married for the rest of his life. Thought, all right, I got life figured out, and then got blindsided by this divorce and is now woefully underprepared to be dating pool.
Well, it doesn't sound like he's having too much trouble with the ladies, because here he is talking to the other people in the apartment there about a date he just went on.
Oh, it's Veronica. Thanks for the drink. I had a lovely evening. Now that is a class act.
And that is a picture of a vagina.
Ooh, what? Ooh,
Look at that. It looks like it's winking at you.
See, it's not the worst thing in the world to be single. You don't get in trouble for vagina pictures.
Yeah, but that ends up with him tied up in a bed in Christmas lights and the girl's gone, and it gets disastrous.
It's not ideal. Yeah. How did your real-life wife, Mrs. Vanderbeek, react to, honey, the good news is I got a CBS sitcom. The bad news is, for you, Brooklyn Decker is one of my co-stars. How thrilled was she with that news?
You know, I mean, you guys met Brooklyn. She's the coolest. My wife is a big Brooklyn Decker fan. She's just such a sweetheart.
She really doesn't have the I'm attractive and I know it.
No.
Air to her.
No, she doesn't. She's just super cool. Yeah.
And your wife's fine.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, completely fine with it.
We complain about laugh tracks on some of these sitcoms that they put on the air. And I know you don't have any control over that. That's not your decision.
Right.
But privately, James, no one can hear us. It's got to drive you crazy, because you're put a script together. The writers, you have good writers. The script is funny. People are laughing anyway. Yet they add all this BS fake laughter that they taped from I Love Lucy in the 50s to sweeten it up. It has to drive you crazy, too.
You know, I asked about that, actually, when the pilot aired. Yeah, because I thought, guys, these laughs sound a little aggressive. You know?
Right.
I mean, it played well in front of the audience. Why do we need to add anything? And I asked, and I was told we didn't add anything. That's just the mix.
So they lied to an actor on their show.
They went back, and there was an email chain they forwarded me from the editor that said, hey, did we...
It was the mix, but they could pull the mix.
Did we sweeten the laughter? And they were like, no, these are all in-studio laughs.
Here's the weird thing, and it has nothing to do with your show. It has to do with all shows.
Yeah.
If the laughter is too much, now you find yourself in the position of going, well, I'm not sure that joke was that funny. You know what I mean? You don't really want to be second-guessing the comedy.
Exactly, especially as an audience member.
Right.
You don't want to hear over-eager laughter on one thing, and then the stuff that's really funny, you know, you don't trust. But supposedly, they promised me that they'd – I mean, I don't know. Maybe if you wrote it and you're now editing it, and you have the laughter there, I think there's a temptation to just want to pull that fade.
Put it in there, yeah.
And I always wondered, and I'm an Hollywood outsider. I don't know anything about how TV is made, but I also sometimes wondered if you have to shoot the thing, some scenes or some lines, three or four different times, and then the audience isn't responding as well because they've just heard that punchline previously, and maybe that's where they're trying to fill in the gaps.
It's not as explosive, but usually when you go a second time, if there's a joke, it's a different joke.
Oh, you use a different
one. Oh, that's an alternate. Yeah, you go until you get that big, uproarious laughter. And usually when that happens, it gets dirtier.
Sure.
Especially as the night wears on.
Sure. I can see that.
Friends with Better Lives is a show we're talking about tonight, Monday night on CBS at 8:30. Your previous show, the Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23.
Yes.
And it's hilarious to me that they won't say the word bitch on CBS because your show is so filthy. It's weird that it's the same network that is
well, that was ABC.
Oh, that one was ABC.
Oh, okay.
All right. Tell me about that role a little bit because we didn't get to talk to you for that. It was a bizarre scenario having you on playing James Vanderbeek, but obviously not the real you. Tell me how you walked that line.
Well, it was kind of based. I had done some Funny or Die skits where I just kind of sent up my own image and took the piss out of myself a little bit. And Ninotchka kind of created this bitchy character living in New York who had a celebrity best friend. And she thought, you know what? I want James doing that on the show. And so, yeah, we came up with this character. I mean, there was a, talk for 2 seconds about maybe, I play an actor, we make a fake name, but then we realized it was just way more fun if we use my name and right. things on my own resume and just eviscerated my ego bit by bit every day. And so it was a blast. I mean, it was a character with absolutely zero shame whatsoever.
Yeah. That must be a fun character to play.
Yeah, he was narcissistic, like almost like psychopathically so. but then there are also moments where he was sweet but completely misguided, totally clueless. And then the thing, in order to make it not sad, he was also talented in almost a savantish kind of way. Like anything he did, he was really good at it.
Right.
Just so blind to anybody outside of himself.
Right. Yeah. And that was probably really good for your image as a real person, as an actor in Hollywood, to see that you could make fun of yourself and you weren't – if there was anybody out there who thought you really were like that guy, you were kind of pointing out that you weren't because you could make fun of that guy.
Yeah. I mean, it was fun. It was the kind of humor I've always had. I mean, when I got – when I couldn't walk through a mall at age 20 because a teenage girl screaming, I love you. I was like, this doesn't make any sense. So my way of staying sane was to joke around about it with friends. Like if I ever didn't get a table at a restaurant, I turned to my friends and go, does she have any idea who I think I am?
Right, sure.
But you couldn't – if you share that sense of humor at age 20 when you're newly minted, people are going to be like, what a bastard.
Yeah.
I'm a grateful little brat. So enough time had passed where I could actually let everybody else in on the joke.
Right. And by the way, it's to your credit, and to the casting credit for Dawson's Creek, look at the careers that your co-stars have had. I mean, look how much great work Josh has done, and Katie Holmes, obviously, Michelle Williams, Oscar nominated. I mean, all of you guys have continued to do super, super well.
Yeah, it's a very rare thing to have, no cast members in jail.
Yeah. Yet.
and then everybody doing well and everybody's still in the business and everybody. I think a lot of it had to do with the fact we're in North Carolina.
Really?
Yeah, we had a really cool crew down there. We were also outside of LA, so there was less trouble we could get into on a nightly basis. And you could be a dick, but you'd be lonely on the weekends.
Right.
Right. Right. Because those are the only people you had to be around to hang out with.
Hang out with the people at work.
Right.
Yeah.
And you've talked about before, I've heard you say that was kind of like your high school. I mean, even though you were already in college and stuff when the show started, that was kind of like your high school. And those are kind of like your high school friends that you still remember fondly and still keep in touch with occasionally, right?
Yeah. And now I'm old enough to the point where I can't remember the difference between the two either.
Oh, good.
Just,
is that real?
Remember, in one of them, a hot girl used to climb through my window. That's
Friends with Better Lives is the show Monday nights at 8:30 on CBS. That is tonight. So the plan, the hope is that this show just continues to do as well as it has so far, and that this is what you'll be doing for the next few years. You get to stay home, raise your kids, right?
Yeah, I'd love that, man. Comedy. I'm having a good time with it.
You still like doing movies too? You were just in that Labor Day with Kate Winslet a couple of months ago. Is that something you're still working on?
Yeah, for sure. That's what I cut my teeth on, drama. And I don't know. It's such a weird masochistic thing, and it's not fun, but I need to do it. The drama.
It's not fun, but I need to do it.
I don't know why.
It's weird.
It really, it's like second nature to me. I think there's a catharsis to it. I think it's like my therapy in a weird way. Every time I do a dark role, it's almost like an exorcism. So it keeps me sane. Especially now having a happy home life. You can kind of use that as your anchor. And then in work, you get to just fly off the handle.
Just go crazy,
but
right?
But you're always tethered to something real. So you can come back.
To kids who are not impressed by your job.
They're not impressed in the least.
Right.
Yeah, in the least.
Do kids come up to you? Do you still hear a lot about Varsity Blues? Is that a movie that people bring up to you?
I do, actually, yeah.
And I imagine especially now because of the tragic loss of Paul Walker, your co-star in that film, too. I imagine a lot of people, it's kind of on their radar again.
Yeah, it is. It's one of the. It's so fun. You never know what's going to stick. I mean, that was a really fun experience. We were all like at the beginnings of our careers. We all took it incredibly seriously. We're all committed. We're shooting with football players. We felt like we're telling their story. So,
and you're a football fan too. On
yeah,
top of it.
Huge football fan. So it felt like one of those magical sets. But also, so many things that could go wrong when you make a movie.
Yeah,
and it could suck for so many reasons. but to be this far out of it and have people still come up and be like, "Yo, Mox." Is really cool.
I guess Kevin and I are lucky because we do a lot of terrible shows, but they're not rebroadcast. It's not like people are going to stumble upon them on cable and make fun of us again over it. You know what I mean? Like whatever you've done, good or bad, pretty much lives forever, right?
It does stick around. It does stick around. Although especially now with the comedy, like I'll be doing this crazy. Like we're on Apartment 23. I did a the fake me went on the fake Dancing with the Stars.
Right.
And so yeah, I'm standing backstage before I go on in this awful sequined outfit that's
sweet.
You know, like with a shirt like snaps in between underneath my legs. And I'm about to go on. I'm thinking like, God, I hope if my son plays football, his friends don't know how to Google.
Oh, they will.
Like, yeah. You know. They'll see it. No question about that.
Well, James, it's great to catch up with you, man. I'm so happy that things are going well for you.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, guys.
And the show is very funny. Again, it's called Friends with Better Lives, and it airs tonight. And we didn't even mention, by the way, the great Kevin Connolly from Entourage. He's on this show.
Bro.
And Mahondra Delfino, yeah. Very funny on the program too.
Yeah.
So 8:30 tonight on CBS.
And we'll all be together. We'll all be live tweeting tonight.
Oh, is that right?
From the same room. Yeah.
I'll be cool. Out. Very cool.
Yeah.
All right. So let's see. It's 2031. We'll do it again. We'll see you then.
Deal.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:56.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Monday morning. First, though, Kevin, I understand you have someone to congratulate.
I do. We have Lauren Siepel from Yorba Linda. Lauren is our grand prize winner for Arcade Fire. She won tickets to the second row. Now she's got a dressing room and her name's on the ticket. She helps present the show, backstage dressing room. She comes out on stage and introduces the band.
She is so getting laid.
I would think so.
Yeah
that's a pretty sweet deal.
So congratulations to Lauren.
Siepel, here's to Lauren Siepel. She's the luckiest winner in the world.
Yay!
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
It is Monday morning, so we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Other Woman, in its debut, $25.4 million, made it number one. It's a lot of estrogen in the theaters this weekend. Captain America fell to number two. The Winter Soldier made $15.9 million. Heaven is for Real, then Rio 2 and Brick Mansions running out the top five. Transcendence, Quiet Ones, Bears, Divergent, and A Haunted House 2 rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. While we're talking about movies, it is official. It seems like it's been coming for some time as we've learned more and more about the Batman versus Superman movie, and they keep adding more and more characters, like first Wonder Woman, then they announced Cyborg is joining the cast. It's just a matter of time till Warner Brothers confirmed that Zack Snyder's next superhero movie is going to be The Justice League, which will be out in 2018.
Hold on, let me write that.
Write it down. It's probably summertime of 2018.
Oh, I'm busy.
We've got the Batman Superman movie coming out May 6th on 2016, and then Justice League. You finally get to see all of DC's superheroes fighting together a la the Avengers in 2018. So, looks like DC has said, all right, it's on. Marvel, we'll see your Avengers and raise you with Justice League.
All right.
Of course, we may not all be here by 2018, so who knows.
You'll be dead?
Yeah.
Doesn't it seem unlikely that all of us, as young as we are, would be dead in 4 years, Ralph?
I'm saying asteroids,
wow.
Tsunamis,
I didn't all kinds consider of crap
can happen between now and then.
That's true. You've been watching that cosmos, haven't you? This is a scary planet to live on.
You have no idea how close we come to death every single day.
A lot of ways to die here.
I'm sure DJ Easy Rock thought he'd be around for the Justice League movie.
Sure.
I bet he thought. It takes two to make it out of sight. Woo! DJ Easy Rock, best known for that collaboration with his longtime friend, rapper Rob Bass, passed away Sunday at the age of 46 years old. Rodney Skip Bryce was his real name. And cause of death has yet to be revealed, but it was confirmed by Rob Basby on Instagram. And you're not really dead until someone says it on Instagram.
Yeah, that's true.
That's how it works. But sad news. Great, great song. I was talking to DJ Omar Khan. DJ Omar Khan, who, of course, besides being the genius who puts together all our production stuff here on The Kevin and Bean Show, is also a wildly popular and busy party DJ.
Yep.
And we were talking in the other room, and I said, so it takes two. Monster floor filler, right? He goes, whenever I'm in a jam, whenever the party's lulling, whenever nobody's out there.
That's a go-to.
That's the thing I drive. So I played it twice this weekend.
Really?
And just like a herd of buffaloes out to the dance floor people go. So it's one of the great party songs of all time.
I think that would be a fun Kevin and Bean phone-in topic one day. The songs that it is impossible not to dance to.
Because
there are, I mean, that's a perfect, I mean, that song's 26 years old, and yep. I bet there's barely been a party in the last 26 years where that song hadn't been played.
It's a monster. You can't yep. beat it. It's a guaranteed party machine.
Here's one that you have to dance to when you hear it.
Balls, 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 balls.
Right? Who's with me?
Well, we were going in this direction
no
over
one?
Here, but
well, that was a moment of party. Today's celebrity birthdays: former Tonight Show host Jay Leno. Leno,
I believe it's Leno.
I'm not familiar with.
Really, I don't remember him. Hasn't Jimmy Fallon always been the host of the Tonight Show?
As far as it was, in
my
lifetime,
the guy before him.
That's been my case. 64 years old today. Singer bassist Kim Gordon of Sonic Youth, 61 years old. Too Short, 48. Bridget Moynihan is 43. Penelope Cruz is 40. Jessica Alba is 33. Jenna Ushkowitz is 28. It's a lot of bells right there.
Yeah.
Harry Shum Jr. from Glee also is 32 years old. And Jorge Garcia, our pal from Lost, played Herbie on that show, of course.
Hurley. And his name is Hurley. Jose, according to Kevin.
That's right, Jose Garcia. That was embarrassing.
I don't remember.
He's 41 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All I'm saying is every minute the Clippers were in the locker room ahead of the Golden State game yesterday, talking about whether they were going to wear their shirts inside out or not, is time that they weren't spending on figuring out how to beat the Warriors.
Yeah, even when the Clippers are a great team, Donald Sterling can ruin it. It's unbelievable. My complaint with the Clippers has always been him. Fans, fine. Team, fine. Owner, horrible.
Here's a question I have, by the way, and then we'll, for folks who have no idea what the controversy is around Donald Sterling, why everybody in the world is talking about him today, we'll catch up to speed. But for people who do know, if you're a Clippers fan, if you support the Clippers, if you watch their games, if you wear their jerseys, if you, you know, buy their merchandise, you're supporting Donald Sterling. You're giving money to Donald Sterling. If you are a Clippers fan, you are enriching Donald Sterling. Is that the plan? Are you cool with that? Is that what you want to do?
Do you have an option?
You don't really have an option.
It's hard to stop being a fan of a team.
Yeah,
if you're a fan, you're a fan, you know?
And you're also just, I mean, you're taking it out on a lot of innocent people here. If you stop supporting the Clippers, you take it out on Doc Rivers, you know, who granted hasn't, you know, been with the club that long, but you take it out on all those players that you love that are trying to bring a championship to Los Angeles. It's not really fair to take it out on them, but how do you root for the Clippers and not support Donald Sterling? It's kind of hard to do that, right? So I think we want to hear from some Clippers fans today, because I'm sure they've got a lot to say on what's going on in their heads right now.
How did what happened over the weekend affect your love/passion for the Clippers?
That's what we want to hear from you on at 1-800-520-1067. I know Clipper Daryl is listening sometime, too. I'd like to hear from you as well. In the meantime, if you did not hear the story, these tapes that TMZ Sports came up with, it is unclear when they were recorded. It's apparently the voice of Donald Sterling and his sometime girlfriend, associate, professional person that he knows that I'm sure he has a lot in common with, because she's 60 years younger than he is and hot and Asian. I'm sure that's why she's around. But it's a recording of, the most controversial part is they're referring to an Instagram that she put up of a picture that she took with Magic Johnson. Donald Sterling, not so crazy about that.
I saw someone I admire. I admire Magic Johnson.
Okay, good.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
He's made a lot of changes for his community, for the world, for the people, for the minorities. He's helped a lot of people.
Why are you forcing this down my throat? I'm finished talking to you. I have nothing more to say.
And I took a picture with someone I admire.
Good.
And he happens to be black, and I'm sorry.
I think it's nice that you admire him. I know him well, and he should be admired.
By the way, I'm very confused by the way Donald Sterling thinks. I don't understand how his mind works. He claims to be a friend of Magic Johnson's.
Right.
Admires him, has known him for a long time. I've heard Magic say the same thing. I saw an interview with Magic over the weekend where he said Donald Sterling is one of the first people he met in Los Angeles. He's always considered him a friend. If he admires Magic Johnson so much and considers him a friend, why wouldn't he want him at his basketball games?
Yeah, I don't know, especially because he's so, you know, tied to the Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it's nothing but a feather in the cap of the Clippers to have somebody so identified with the Lakers be at their game. It says, hey, we're legitimate and we've arrived. Not to mention he's one of the most beloved people in the history of Los Angeles. It can do nothing but make your brand go up if Magic Johnson is endorsing it. One of the many confusing things that Donald Sterling says.
And I'm just saying that it's too bad you can't admire him privately and during your entire f***ing life, your whole life, admire him. Bring him here, feed him. Him. I don't care.
And if I could also jump in and say this, of all the people in the world to encourage your girlfriend to go out and sleep with, maybe Magic Johnson's not the best possible choice.
You could do anything, but don't put him on an Instagram so the world has to see, so they have to call me. And don't bring him into my games, okay?
It does sound like you're listening to a tape from 1960, doesn't it?
Now, is he talking specifically about Magic Johnson or about black people in general?
I don't know, Dave. You spent a lot of
sounded
you spent,
like Magic.
It did sound like Magic. What do you think, Dave? Is he talking about all African Americans at Clippers game? He doesn't want to see him in the crowd. He certainly wants to see them on his team.
I think he was referring to her bringing people in, you know, because first she took the picture of Magic. She also had a picture of Matt Camp, you know, and she was, as he would say, broadcasting that she's associating with these black people, you know, and so that's what he didn't want. He didn't want her bringing in as a guest, as his girlfriend, I guess.
Okay, so you know? it wasn't that it was Magic Johnson of the Lakers. It was African American.
Yeah, it could have been any African American that she was bringing in to his games.
Does that hurt your support of the Clippers?
No, because I mean, we've known this about
it is
about
not
Donald
new.
Sterling. It's
unfortunately,
I mean, yeah.
It is not new.
You know, we
about
know
him.
He's a bad. He was a bad owner. He was a bad slumlord. You know, he got sued for not renting to Mexicans and Koreans. You know. So everyone knew about this, so I'm glad it's just finally out and everyone can see that
but,
we do.
But let me ask you this, Dave, and let's go to Henry. Let's squeeze in a call from another longtime Clipper fan here. But as we go to Henry, let me ask you this, Dave. If everybody knew that Donald Sterling was a racist, this is not news to most Clippers fans, why have you all continued to support the team for so long? Why have you not demanded, why have the players not demanded this change at the top until now?
Because we love the team, you know? We love those guys. We love that group, that core.
None of which are responsible for Donald Sterling's views.
Exactly. You know, us not going to the games and supporting those guys, those teams, is going to affect them in any way.
But I think what I'm saying is you've been willing to support the Clippers all this time, knowing their owner was a racist. Nothing's changed. The owner is still a racist. Should he still continue to own the team? And should you guys still continue to support him and still continue to make him money being Clipper fans?
I guess it's a tough question.
I think there's a difference between
a really
knowing something about a person and knowing that they were in a lawsuit and knowing whatever they've been doing, whatever the bad things are. And hearing it out of their mouth, I think it's a whole
different thing. A time where we gotta think about it, you know.
Let's talk to Henry. He says he's been a Clippers fan since 1998. This must have been a tough weekend for you, not just because they played so poorly and lost so badly last night. What's going through your head right now, Henry?
Well, to be honest with you, I mean, it's upsetting.
Turn down your radio, Henry.
Hold on.
It's going to mess you up. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I mean, it's upsetting. I mean, the only thing, I mean, yeah, we've known he's been a racist take for so long, but, I mean, there's only so much we can do. I mean, like, I'm going to tomorrow's game, and, I mean, to be honest with you, the way of supporting my team, which is, you know, the Clippers, you know, CP3, what I'm doing is I'm wearing my jersey inside out tomorrow.
Okay.
I mean,
But you're still making sure to give racist Donald Sterling your money by buying a ticket and going in there.
I'm not there for him. I'm there for my team. You know, I mean, I've been a Clipper fan for 98. I've you know, died and, you know, cried because we're just that horrible. But now we're actually a solid squad.
Right.
And, you know, I feel like I have to be there for my team. Not for Donald Sterling, but for my team.
It sure is going to be a happy, happy day, and it looks like that's the way it's going to end up being resolved, is that they're going to make him get rid of the team somehow. They're going to figure out a way to do that, I think. The NBA is not going to tolerate one of their owners being on tape saying stuff like this. It's going to be a great day for you and other Clippers fans when that happens, though, right, Henry?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I mean, yeah, I always kind of hoped we would get a really good, solid owner instead of, you know, Don Sterling. But,
right.
You know, I'm just really hoping it turns out for the best for us.
Okay. Hey, good luck tomorrow night, too. Thanks so much for the call, Henry. 1-800-520-1067. Talking to Clippers fans. Your calls are coming up next here on K-Rock. Kevin, I mean, listener Matt writes in, hey, Dave says he supports these guys, the team. None of these guys were around 10 years ago. It was a totally different team of players, but everyone knew that Donald Sterling was a racist 10 years ago and 20 years ago and 30 years ago. The only constant in the Clippers is Sterling. What does it take for them to say enough is enough? Would they support the Clippers if Vladimir Putin bought the team? Or Hitler, because there's no discussion that doesn't eventually come around to Adolf Hitler. That's what Matt says. So no matter who the owner is, Clippers fans support the Clippers. Is that where we're at here, Dave?
Yep, I believe so.
All right, let's talk to Tom. He has been a Clipper season ticket holder since 1990. He has certainly paid his dues. Here we are 24 years later. Donald Sterling has always been a dick. How are you feeling about him right now, Tom?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm glad that this has come out, because knowing he was a racist all these years, it is a tough decision whether to support the team. I support the team for other reasons, but having watched him and his antics on his birthday, he and his working girls were an embarrassment to all of Staples Center in Los Angeles.
Right.
But my point is, it's nice to have him come out and show us his true colors. Letting us hear him say these things makes a big difference to me, someone who's sat behind him for all these years. So my last thing I want to ask you guys is, what about the girl? What's her motivation here? She is a street walker that has some other motivation. I'm curious to know what her angle is.
I mean, how much do you care about that, though, if the ultimate end is to get rid of Donald Sterling? I mean, you should be grateful for her, even if she's scummy for doing this, even if she's turning on him for her own reasons. It sounds like it might end up ultimately working out better for you as a Clippers fan.
I totally, 100, that's why I called. I completely agree with you. I'm just curious, what is her next move? Does she have a lawsuit pending? Was she about to get dumped and she saw the writing on the wall? What has motivated her?
Yeah, I don't know.
She's being sued by his wife already. So.
Oh, I hate it when your wife sues your girlfriend.
That
I hate
is the
that.
Worst.
It's so unpleasant. Thank you very much for the call.
Will you follow, Dave and Clipper fans, if the good players start leaving because of Donald Sterling?
As a Clipper fan, I would have to follow the team. I'm not gonna
even if
I'm
the
not
best
gonna
players
abandon,
start leaving.
I'm not gonna abandon just because the players leave. You know, it's also the staff and
agreed.
The people working on it.
There's 99% of the people
that's
are good
our team,
good
you know?
People, hardworking
yeah.
people. Yeah.
Let's talk to Lewis real quick. He's on line four. He may be in the column of boycotting here, which I think Dodgers fans tried to do when they got enough of Frank McCourt's antics a couple of years ago, right? Didn't they start staying away from the games?
The attendance was really low, yes.
Of course, I would say they could stop watching the games, but these days no one can see Dodgers games anyways, but at least Clippers games are on TV. Lewis, what are you doing about this? What's going on with you as a Clippers fan?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good.
I'm basically in the boycott. You know, I'm gonna stop watching the game. As I was listening to the other conversations, I'm like, you know what? I might as well just boycott the whole NBA because if you know the owners kind of, like I say, you know, they've been a racist for so long, and everybody kind of knows. So why have they been letting this man continue keeping the team? So I say we just boycott everything and just we're still gonna find out who wins if they keep on playing, and then hopefully they resolve this quick, and then I'll start watching again.
I think it takes an awful lot to take a team away from an owner.
It does,
I really does. And I think owners are probably involved in that decision. And I think they want it to be difficult to have somebody come in and pry your team away, because they never know if somebody's going to try to pry their team away. So I think they've been protecting Donald Sterling for a number of years. But it sounds like the PR is so bad now that they're not going to be able to do that again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. We got time for a couple more here. Who do you like here, Kevin?
Let's do Dean. I'm not sure exactly how this will work. Hi, Dean.
Hey, what's up, guys?
You've been a fan for how long?
Since about 2000, 2001, since the Darius Miles, Quentin Richardson days.
Okay.
I'm not a bandwagon fan. I'm very proud of that. I actually became a Clipper fan out of spite of all the Laker fans at school who suddenly showed up when they started winning championships. That kind
right.
of pissed me off.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, I've always hated Sterling. I think he's a complete moron and a jackass. In the midst of what they're trying to turn into a title run, Donald Sterling goes and he does the most Donald Sterling thing ever and just makes the whole organization look bad. And, you know,
and distract his team and have them play their worst game of the playoffs, because how could they not be affected by this?
Yeah, really. I thought they were going to come out strong yesterday and, you know, show that, you know, they're above this, but I think it still, you know, it got to them, and I think I showed on the court. But I mean, I'm always going to support the team, and I'm really glad that Doc is the guy they have to, you know, try and keep this under control and keep the guys focused.
One of the best coaches in the league.
And by the way, thank you for saying that, by the way, Dean, because the way he has handled this has been great, because he has said, you know what, this is not a black player issue or a white player issue. Everybody on this team is equally offended by those remarks, and that's the one thing that you can take away from this is we are united on this. It's, you know, essentially saying it's us against Donald Sterling, and he has really handled it like the pro that we knew he was.
Yeah, and I mean, the players are there. They're there to win a championship for themselves and the fans. They're not trying to win a championship for Sterling. So, and I really hope this whole thing, you know, I hope they put pressure on him and he ends up selling the team. So,
oh, that'd be the best thing for all Clipper fans, I think.
Yeah,
thank you, Dean. We appreciate the call. By the way, if you guys didn't hear Snoop Dogg's comments, I think he really also, just like Doc Rivers, extremely eloquent.
A message to the motherfucker that own the Clippers, you bitch ass redneck white bread chicken motherfucker. You, your mama, and everything connected to you, you racist piece of you.
Well said, Snoop. Wow. Let's do one more. This is going to be Tony. He's on line two to take it home for us. Hi, Tony. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, guys. How you doing today?
Good, thank you.
That's good. Yeah, I wanted to call in. I mean, I love the Clippers. I've been a longtime Clipper fan, and Sterling, you know, he's like a bad apple. He's out of, you know, everybody's control. It's totally similar to like K-Rock. I've been a long time, you know, K-Rock fan. I love the music. I love you guys, the morning show, the afternoon, the phone screeners. And I know Dean's a dick. You know what I mean?
How dare you?
It's like, I'm not going to change the station because Dean's a dick. You know what I mean? It's just, it is what it is. And it's tolerance sometimes. That's the final word. It's tolerance.
That hurts, Tony. That hurts, but thanks for calling.
That is the final word.
By the way, looking ahead toward the rest of this week here on The Kevin and Bean Show, comedian Jim Gaffigan is going to be here tomorrow, actor Colin Hanks, also the legendary Maury Povich on Wednesday's show.
Yay! You are not the father.
Yeah, he said he's got some results for you, Muggs. I don't know what that's about. We'll talk to him. Comedian Jeff Ross, actor Shia McBride is going to be here, Dr. Drew, and we have the writers on Friday. Very excited about this. The people who were tasked with sitting down and writing the script for the new 24 Live Another Day.
Oh, wow.
It's next Monday.
Can't wait for that.
Sorry, next Monday. That is, you're boxing yourself in when you start writing for 24. That's a tough show to keep a lot of things straight. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I can talk about that will stall this conversation.
Clippers,
so
let's talk about what's most important, and that is the day of the King of Mexico and his girlfriend went up to visit Bean. Bean lives in Seattle. And they, what, did you go to a baseball game?
Went to a baseball game, did some touristy stuff.
Last week, Bean was very, very worried. And I don't think I fully understand this, but very worried that Dave was going to have sex with his girlfriend in Bean's house.
Yeah, I mean, I was. I think it puts the host in an awkward position to be confronted with their house guest's sexuality. I don't think there's any need for that. I think that...
How are you confronted with it, unless they're screaming?
Well, first of all, you know, Dave is a lover, not a fighter, so Kristen would probably be screaming. How could she not?
Sure.
I mean, look at the king. When he brings the turtle out, I mean, everybody screams. But ooh. I just, you know, the guest bedroom is pretty close to the master bedroom,
right.
And I don't want to hear any of that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be involved in Dave's sex life at all. I'm happy for him. They're a lovely couple. I hope they are happy together, but I don't need to be near it. So I did everything. Here was my strategy. wear them the F out before we go to bed at night.
Oh, I see. So just run them ragged.
Run them ragged, right. Come on, Dave. Let's jog some more. Let's jog again. So we were go, go, go. I know you guys mock me for being guy who always goes to bed early guy. But
well, you
I mean,
are. But in this case, for some reason, you're strangely driven to make sure that didn't happen.
I was trying to, you know, like you do like you do with your dog. You take your dog on a super long walk just so that they'll, you know, sleep the rest of the night.
Kevin, we stayed up past 10 o'clock every night.
What?
Yep, I
we
know.
Sure did.
And
we
Bean
sure
did with
Bean
you?
Bean with me, yeah. With
wow,
us.
Did he not want you to have
we
sex.
We partied.
So, yeah, so we went to the Mariners game and got back around 10 o'clock or a little after on Friday night. And then we were at a birthday party. By the way, I just like to point out for those who mock me, a birthday party that was A, not at my house, and B, with people out at a place.
With a lot of people.
Me. I was at that.
Yeah, but you left way early, right?
Well, Dave and I left early. Yeah, we left around 9:30 and went back and watched SportsCenter. Sure. But my point is, though, that it was a go, go, go day. And I honestly don't know whether Dave's going to say sexy time was had or not.
Stop saying sexy time. It's gross.
But I want to know, before it is revealed, the conversation that I was not a part of
right.
that you guys had in the office last week, where it sounds to me like, Kevin, there was money being promised.
I believe.
Tell me about that.
I believe that the total got up to at least 300 credits.
300 credits, yes.
Okay.
And what were you offering? Like, what were the terms of the deal?
Just he needs to defile your house in some way.
So
he
you
needs to have sex. Basically, he has to have sex at your house because that's the worst thing you can imagine. So
absolutely.
So we paid him to do it.
Because I just am going to burn that room down if sex was had. So you're telling me that you were offering to give him cash to violate his host's home.
He's not effing your home. He's got a girlfriend.
And can I say, when I got there, I got the approval and the A-OK from Mrs. Bean.
Sure.
She said,
she's in on this?
Yes. She said, someone needs to be having sex in this house. Might as well be you
there
guys.
There you go.
So,
Dave?
Yeah.
The update is what?
Well, you know me and you know how I get it on. But out of respect to the host.
Oh, you're so weak.
I did not.
Yeah!
Oh, my God. But the real reason is...
You're so weak.
Well, the real reason is, dude, Bean was so close. I don't know if you could have sex next to Bean. I can't.
Dave,
it was just creepy, dude.
Dave.
It was that close.
Yeah, it's that close. So what you do is make it as loud as possible.
No! Can you get it up next to Bean?
Because it doesn't matter. Yeah. I would fake it. I would tell your girlfriend, scream for a while. Just because I know it would torture Bean.
So,
how
Dave,
could you not? We were going to pay you $300.
It just couldn't
your
work,
man. Your girlfriend's hot.
I know.
What's the deal?
I have sex with her all the time.
Right. It drive Bean crazy. You had the opportunity.
It was the geography of the house. It was the fact that my bedroom was too close to your bedroom.
That's even better. You want him to be
the
uncomfortable.
The creepiness just took over, and I couldn't do it.
You failed in every way.
So, Kevin, you would have gotten up and just slammed the headboard up against the wall, basically.
The more noise, the better. It may have spilled out into the hall. It may have fallen into your room. I don't know.
So no sexy time for me.
I am so relieved. So my house is still a virgin, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't know that that's something you want to brag
about.
But
your yard isn't. What?
I just remember a couple weeks ago in the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup, we were watching the video of that guy who was trying to drink a gallon of the hot, 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 hot sauce.
Right.
And we're thinking, who is this guy and who does that? Well, this guy is Kevin Straley. He is the L.A. Beast, and he joins us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hi, Kevin.
Here.
How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
That was gross at the end of that video. I got to be honest. I don't know that I've seen vomit like that before. I mean,
that was
an accomplishment. It was Exorcist, yeah.
Yeah, I think it naturally just exercised right out of my body.
Beast, what are you doing to your body? What must the insides of your body be like right now? Because you've been punishing your digestive system and for years, right?
Right. That's a good question. For about 2 years, I actually did not go to the doctor, but about 2 weeks ago, I did. And I figured, you know, it was time to get a checkup and blood test. Everything was okay. I got an EKG on my heart.
Everything's all right.
Yep, everything's okay.
Wow.
Did you tell them some of the stuff that you were ingesting?
Oh, yeah. The first thing I told
you
the doctor
did,
who I was and what I do. And
why don't you tell our audience who you are and what you do for the people who don't know?
I'm the L.A. Beast. I am a professional competitive eater. I've done tons of contests all across the country, and that somehow got me into trying to push my limits doing crazy eating stunts on YouTube.
And this is what you do for a living. You make your money by putting those videos up on YouTube, right?
Right. At first, when I first started, there wasn't really that much money to be made. But as my audience has grown,
right,
and more views have come, you know, I'm able to do this as a full-time job.
That's amazing.
That's a tough way to make a living. You know, like some days you wake up and you go, wow, I got to eat every burger on the Burger King menu. Really?
It's fun, but
That's not fun.
I think Kevin was suggesting the opposite. It's not fun. It's not what you look forward to.
I feel like you're one of the Jackass guys where you go, look, the end result might be worth it, but it's not going to be fun while I'm going through it.
Right. I've always been mentally tough, and you know, I'd rather do this than sit on a bus going into New York City and then being a zombie, you know, going about your 9-to-5 job.
Sure, sure. Let me talk about some of the accomplishments of our friend the L.A. Beast here. You drank a 20-year-old bottle of Crystal Pepsi. You ate ghost chili peppers. What was the Red Bull and milk challenge? How much did you consume that time, Beast?
Can we call you Beast?
You can call me Beast.
Okay.
That's fine.
All right. Bean seems to be, so I just want to make sure it's cool.
The Red Bull and milk, you know, I have this giant beer glass that I kind of borrowed from my old job.
Mm-hmm. And by borrowed, you mean stole.
Correct.
Uh-huh.
And I filled it with 3 16-ounce Red Bulls and then like half a gallon of milk. And the two combined actually like causes the milk to curdle.
Oh.
And then you have to drink it. So
you don't have to. You do.
Right, correct.
All right.
I do what the people don't want to do.
Right.
And I provide the entertainment.
Very much true.
5,000 calories in 4 minutes, 6 bottles of pancake syrup in 80 seconds. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. Now, do you come up with all these, or do you have viewers who write in and say, I bet you won't, or I dare you to?
The fans and the viewers are, you know, I get about 50 suggestions every day. It's nonstop.
Really?
Oh, my God.
But, like, I try to take their original idea and then make it my own. Put
Much
my own
worse.
Twist. Absolutely terrible.
Did you grow up like I did where you're paying each other to
Yeah, I was always, like,
nonsense.
The guy at the lunch table. Like, they pay me to eat the gum off the bottom of the table, stuff like that. Yeah, I was always that kid. I was that kid.
But beyond the YouTube videos, you also enter competitive eating contests around the country, right?
Correct.
What are some of those that you've done? Have you ever done the Nathan's hot dog?
It's tricky. Nathan's, you have to win a qualifier.
Oh, you do?
And, you know, I wanted it more than anything, and I've done like 6 or 7 qualifiers, and just Crazy Legs Conti beat me by one bite of a hot dog.
Oh, you don't want to get beat by Crazy Legs.
No.
Is there something inherently difficult about hot dogs compared to some of the other stuff you eat? Is that a challenge even for you, Kevin?
The hot dogs are so salty and greasy. And then the buns, you know.
I would think the buns would be like heavy.
The bun, yeah, you dunk it in water, you swallow the bun down, but then it expands. I guess bread expands in your stomach, which
right.
makes you full quicker.
Right.
And just the grease, the bread, and salt, all that stuff is just a bad combination.
You do make it sound delicious. What about, you're the guy when we go into restaurants someplace in this country and we see, hey, if you eat this giant steak, you get it for free. You're the guy who's been there and has gotten it for free because you can do that, right?
Right. When I moved back out to Los Angeles from New Jersey, I ate for free going across the country. And
you found those specials every stop of the way? And
right.
Just
you get free T-shirts. I clothed myself for free. Got free food.
How big are those pieces of meat that you're eating?
Oh, I've done the 72-ounce steak at Amarillo, Texas, that you saw in Man vs. Food.
Right.
I've eaten an 87-ounce steak.
Holy cow.
It's just like, yeah, it's like a side of a cow, literally.
Wow. So, Beast, what's going on in your head during these competitions? Do you have some sort of a system where you're able to kind of disassociate what your body's doing from what your mind is doing?
I usually, like Will Ferrell did in Old School, he just blacks out.
Right.
And then he wakes up at the end of it. That's pretty much what I do. I just pretend like I'm sitting on the beach drinking Coronas or something and just black out.
Some of your videos, and I mentioned when you sat down that we featured a bunch of them on the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup, and they're very entertaining, but it seems like you go out of your way to make like, the challenge isn't hard enough. You figure out a way to make it even harder by having people shocking you with a dog collar or splashing, you know, throwing milk on top of you or whatever it is. I mean, what's going on? What's your thought process? Do you need the motivation to make it worse than it is in order for you to find what's necessary to accomplish the task?
Just my philosophy is, like, there are other competitive eaters on YouTube, and it's an amazing accomplishment to eat a giant hamburger, just eat a lot of food.
Right.
But I don't think it's very entertaining. I like to eat crazy stuff, but add the entertainment value, whether it's shock value or not. But, yeah, I just try to go above and beyond and make it entertaining. That's why I do it.
And when you – the day that you shoot a video, if the mission is a lot of food – are you just, you know, like a snake and now you don't have to eat for like 3 days? You just live off of that? Or do you immediately vomit and then your life is pretty normal again with food?
Like when I ate all 11 Burger King hamburgers, like that immediately just came right back out.
Yeah.
Puked it back up. But yeah, sometimes if it's like the Chipotle burrito challenge, like I used that protein and went to the gym and used it to build some muscle.
You went to the gym?
Right.
After that.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Boy, there's a lot of vomiting involved in your line of work.
What percentage correct. Of the time would you say you have some violent reversals? I mean, is it 75% of the time?
I would say a good 70%. Definitely more than half of the time it's coming right back up.
Now, are people surprised, as you were, the Beast, that you're not a big fat guy? I mean, that's what I expected to come. I mean, obviously I didn't because I've seen you on the videos. But, I mean, people who hear about what you do probably expect you to be a huge, and you actually look like a pretty fit dude.
Yeah, a lot of the eaters in competitive eating are skinny.
Yeah.
There's like 90-pound women out there who could eat more food than I can. But, yeah, if I didn't go to the gym for 6 days a week, I would be fat.
How often do you put up a new video?
I try to get one once a week.
Once a week.
Four per month.
And what's the end plan here, Kevin? Because you don't want to keep doing this forever. What are you hoping this turns into?
It's going
to
be right. Sad if you're 65 and you're still right. Just cramming pizzas in or whatever.
Oh, look, it's another bag of Oreos. Here I go.
Right. I care about my health. I don't have a death wish in maybe one or two more years, but I've actually got contacted by a professional stuntman. In movies and television, and I've kind of been doing that on the side.
Oh, is that right?
So that's like a pretty cool transition.
Yeah, no kidding.
Job.
So yeah. What's next? What's your next?
I think if I can pull it off, I want to drink a gallon of honey while engulfed with bees. I want to have like bees all over, like Johnny Knoxville's
bikini. Bees all over you, and you want to drink honey?
Right. It may not sound interesting now. But
oh, no, that sounds horrific.
I will make it entertaining.
But isn't, I mean, honey is so thick that it would take, I feel like it would take me all day to drink a small glass of honey just because you have to swallow it. It's so thick. How long would it take you to drink a gallon?
That's a great question.
You can't shoot honey. I mean, it's right, not like yeah. You just go right. Right down.
I really haven't. Thought that far ahead. Yet.
Okay.
Do you all ever right. Try? Do you ever have a little bit of something just to test out what it's going to be like?
Yeah, absolutely.
You do. Okay.
Like there's like usually a day where I prep and do all my research to make sure everything is safe and test whatever I'm going to do out.
What's your biggest fail, Kevin? The one that just went south and you just couldn't recover.
Oh wow!
And did you not put that one up on YouTube because you failed so badly?
Probably one of the worst. Internal pains I've had, which I failed. I tried to eat, it was like a spicy Indian dish.
Right.
Curry. It was curry. Like the spiciest curry in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
I had like four pieces of chicken left, but like I couldn't, I was like curled up in a ball in the restaurant. Like I couldn't even get on the train to go home. Like that was probably pretty bad.
Have you ever, during one of those times, thought, this is a bad way to make a living?
Probably after every single challenge.
Yeah, after everyone.
All right, where do you want people to find you online, Kevin, so they can enjoy the magic that is the LA Beast?
If you just go to www.labeast.com, there's all my...
All your videos are up there.
Videos, social media, everything is up there. So.
Well, you're doing good work. I hope you stay alive.
Thank you. I hope I do, too.
Thanks for coming in today. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
106.7 K-Rock is... KROQ, this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:47.
Somebody put that dying animal out of its misery, please. Muggs, you got a gun, right?
sure.
Take care of it. Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat here for a Monday. What's going on?
Monday.
Hey, where are all the Hollywood celebrities weighing in on the Sterling thing, Ralph? Usually they're always asked everywhere about what they think about.
I'm glad
like
you
this.
Asked. Lindsay Lohan said, "I do not like blacks."
That's not true.
George Clooney said, "I'm with Donald."
No one said that.
Yeah.
No one said, "I'm with Donald."
Brad Pitt says, "Angelina and I both agree. Go, Donald, go."
No. Nope.
So, a lot of strange reaction from the Hollywood community.
I'm surprised to see that kind of support, but okay.
I am too.
Take your word for it.
Yes.
How about the basketball game?
Yeah. Right. Don't get me started about Leslie Nielsen. His opinion just came in from beyond the grave. It's Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Here's what people went to see this weekend. The Other Woman, in its debut, took the top slot with $25.4 million. It was ladies' night at the theaters.
Yeah.
Captain America, The Winter Soldier, dropped to number 2 with $15.9 million. Then Heaven is for Real, Rio 2, and Brick Mansions, in its debut, at number 5. Transcendence, The Quiet Ones, in its debut, made $3.8 million.
I'm surprised that did not do better.
Me too. I look terrifying. And your horror movies usually do well.
I was there. Got my money.
Bears, Divergent, and A Haunted House 2, rounding out your top 10 at the box office. Brick Mansions, by the way, Paul Walker's second to last film.
Oh.
George Clooney, they're saying he's engaged. Come on.
You know, I'm not buying it.
Here's the thing. People Magazine said, there's a picture of his girlfriend wearing a ring on that finger, and it's a diamond. So I suppose it could be, or it could just be she's wearing a ring.
Yeah. From what we know about George Clooney, I would guess not.
There's no law against a woman wearing a ring on whatever finger she wants to wear a ring on.
Absolutely not, yeah. And depending on the size of the ring and, you know, what time of month it is, what finger the ring fits on, who knows? There's a lot of possibilities. Stop it. Stop leaping to conclusions.
Clooney, you smug bastard. Yeah. Stop playing basketball and get married like the rest of us.
Yeah, come on, Clooney. They've been dating for 6 months. She's an attorney and a United Nations advisor.
Wow.
She is beautiful. Look, if he was going to settle down with one woman, this seems to be the kind of woman that he would go for, because she's got brains and beauty and the whole nine yards.
But
however, he doesn't have to marry her. He can still have all that without marrying her.
Right. Yeah. And isn't the thing about Clooney girlfriends is that they age out. At some point, they're going to hit 28.
How dare you, sir. Clooney also famously said he has no interest in having kids.
Right.
So I can't see why he would.
Right.
But, you know, it's just this obsession America has with George Clooney getting married. It's
endless speculation.
I don't know why it is.
And you marry her.
Take it easy. How are we so invested in whether he's married or not?
I can't imagine, but
does that affect our
people
lives?
People saw the ring, and now they jumped, and it's a story. Now everyone's, George Clooney breaks millions of hearts this weekend. Relax, everybody. Just relax. If there's a confirmation, if his people come forward or somebody says something, then we'll know for sure.
It is a curious thing, Ralph, that you bring up. I mean, I don't know that I've ever seen an Angelina Jolie interview where the person hasn't asked, so when are you and Brad going to make it legal? You know, like they couldn't be any more invested in each other with their lives and their kids and everything. But for whatever reason, people are not happy until someone else is married.
However, I heard Angelina Jolie's dating Donald Sterling.
Is that right?
Wow.
I didn't hear that at all.
But they have a mutual dislike for African Americans, apparently.
That's not true.
That's the one thing that bonds them.
That is not true.
Yeah.
That is a lie.
Warner Brothers has announced it's official. There will be a Justice League movie following up Batman and Superman. Zack Snyder has locked in to direct. He directed, of course, The Man of Steel and is currently working on Batman versus Superman. And then next up for him will be the Justice League. So we're doomed, is what I'm saying.
We're doomed.
We're doomed. Because, look,
why are we doomed?
I did not care for Man of Steel.
Oh.
I didn't think it was a very strong take. And we're going to have Affleck as Batman now for at least 2 films. There's a lot of foreboding going on with this story for me. But the upside is, Marvel just popped a bottle of champagne over there in their offices, so it all works out.
How about the basketball game?
There's no basketball game, Leslie. DJ EZ Rock, best known for his collaboration with his longtime friend Rob Bass. In 1988, they produced this song. Yes. Yes. Oh.
you agree with me, Ralph, that that's a banger?
No, sir. No, sir. I would say many things about that song. That's a banger would not be one of them.
That's the way you say it. It's so terrible.
That is a banger.
Would you agree with me, Ralph, that that's a banger?
That is a banger, sir. It's like Paul Moyer. That's a banger? You bet. Big banger.
But how did he die in his 40s? What's
46
up?
46 years old. They do not have a cause of death as of yet. Of course, there will be an autopsy, but just passed away on Sunday. No word yet on what caused his death. But sad news, because that's an ass shaker right there. That's a banger.
That is a banger.
That is a banger of a song.
We would call that a banger.
Yes. This is sad news. Stop it. Stop it, Matthew Lombardo. Do you remember Valerie Harper from the Mary Tyler Moore Show and Rhoda and stuff? She was on Dancing with the Stars, famously came diagnosed with brain cancer.
Oh, right, yeah.
She is still very much alive, defying all the odds, but she was doing a Broadway show when she revealed that she had brain cancer. But the guy who produced the show back in 2012 claimed she held back the news so she could keep her job and be the star of the play. Then during rehearsals, she began slurring her words and forgetting her lines. And then that's when she disclosed that she had brain cancer. So this guy is suing her for $2 million.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Because he said she held back that information and it affected his play. To which I say, hasn't she paid the ultimate penalty, really, in the long run?
Wow.
You're going to hit her for the $2 million lawsuit? You heartless bastard. So,
wow.
She was pulled out of the show. She did pull out of the show because she was given just months to live. So now he is filing this lawsuit against a dying woman, which I think makes it just charming beyond words.
Insensitivity.
Yeah. And Fox has given a green light. I'm not kidding. This is for real. Fox has given the green light to a new series called Nazareth, which will follow Jesus when he was a kid. This is Smallville for Jesus. Gotham for Jesus.
I like it.
Jesus, the early years.
Now, we don't know much. There's not much in the Bible about most of Jesus' life from the time he was
from
born.
Birth to 33, pretty
to
much.
To 30. And then we find out about, like, in the last couple of years, right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of...
I like it. It's a hit. I think I'll keep watching it.
He's like going to high school. He's like, hey, Jesus, look out. You're going towards the pool. Beep, 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 beep. Just walks across. Hey, what was that? Oh, just, hey, don't tell anybody, folks. It's like Smallville. He's be hiding his powers, and you know, his dad's going to be giving him a hard time. Jesus, I want you to join the company. Pick up a hammer, for God's sake. Put down that book.
Now, if they made it funny, I'm in.
Yeah, well, it's
but if it's going to be a serious all-religion show, I'm not in.
It's going to be for real. This very popular subject matter, by the way, Lifetime has also announced a series called The One, which plans to focus on Jesus' teen years. And I'm not kidding. NBC, CBS, WGN America, OWN, and CNN all have similar various projects in the works. Jesus is a hot commodity.
Apparently.
Who's his agent? Get Jesus on the phone. Have we got a deal for you, kid? Jesus' agent's Jewish, by the way, which I find really ironic. Today's celebrity birthdays, Jay Leno, 64 years old.
Pam Anderson?
Let me think how that fits into what I just said.
I can't imagine.
We just searched the recesses of my mind.
Leslie was wondering whose birthdays were today, I think.
Oh, was he?
He was.
So glad he's dead.
Leslie was making quite a stretch.
Wilma, I promise you, whatever scum did this, not one man on this force will rest for 1 minute until he's behind bars. Now let's grab a bite to eat.
Yeah, come on, Wilma.
Kim Gordon of Sonic Youth is 61. Rapper Too Short is 48. Bridget Moynihan is 43 years old. Penelope Cruz is 40. Jessica Alba is 33. And Jenna Ushkowitz is 28. Harry Shum Jr. from Glee is 32 years old. And Jorge Garcia, best known for his role as Harvey on Lost, he is 41.
Hurley.
Oh, the Hurley, yeah. 41 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take care, Ralph, tomorrow morning on All-New Kevin and Bean Show. Colin Hanks will join us.
Oh!
Talking about Fargo.
And Kings, I'm sure.
And Kings, right. Comedian Jim Gaffigan will be on the program, and we've got your tickets in the fourth row to see the Kings of Leon tomorrow morning on an All-New Show.